This is PFW in Progress.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. Patch.
PFW in Progress.
I grew up in a tough neighborhood. We used to say you can get further with a kind word and a gun than you can with just a kind word.
With Fred Kirsch.
Somebody, you afraid to come out from behind your men? You afraid to stand up for yourself?
You want to do it now? You want to do it now?
Where's the gabagool? She's like, there's no gabagool. He's like, there's no gabagool.
What?
Easy.
You talk to me like that in front of my son? You and your family.
Paul Ferrillo.
Isn't that just like a wop? Brings a knife to a gunfight.
Get out of here, you jagle bastard.
And Andy. And Andy?
Yes, I knew it. That's all you need. One thieving wop on the team. I said that you're a lying member of a no-good race.
Andy Hart.
Much better than you, you stinking Irish pig.
Oh, I like
it. Some guy named Tom.
I want that son of a dead. I want him dead. I want you to get this where he breathes. I want you to find this Nancy boy. I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burnt to the ground.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and getting prepared for the big game this weekend. Of course, I'm talking about the New England Revolution versus the Houston Dynamos. Actually, that's another show. This is PFW in Progress. We're here to talk about the Patriots, and the Bills are coming up. It's off day here after a week off.
And then a single on day.
Right.
Yeah. Living the country club lifestyle these days, these Patriots. Right. 5 days off, one on, another off. It's like the Paul Perillo schedule.
I think they've earned it, and I think it's good to give them a little bit of break after nine games.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, exciting times here at Gillette Stadium.
Fred, were you part of the press conference?
What's the matter? Paul's rolling his eyes.
Gary, I need a battery for my
headphones aren't working. Tom's not here. We're a little worried about him. No one's heard or from him.
Last I heard, he was going to the doctor, so.
Okay. He had some type of thing going on?
Had a little infection or something.
Okay. Well, maybe you never know.
Thanks,
he might show up during the show.
He could.
Yeah.
But we should probably, before we get to anything else.
Eat his turkey sub?
No, thank our listeners.
Matt from Quincy with the big lunch today, and somebody else, too. we actually got two shipments today. I don't know who the other person is. We'll probably get an email some point.
The generosity of our listeners, Fred, never ceases to amaze me.
That's right.
It's tremendous. Do we have any listeners that own car dealerships? Because I'm on the lookout for
Lexus.
Hondas and Toyotas. No, I'm simple. Hondas and Toyotas.
I told you, look at the Mazdas. Why don't you look
want
at
a Mazda.
All right. Anyway, Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Now, I enjoyed the weekend.
You haven't been here for about a week?
I haven't. I left here on Friday afternoon, and I have to be honest with you, Fred, I haven't given the place a thought.
No. You didn't even watch the Colts game.
I didn't. I watched the first 5 minutes. It was 16-0. I thought that game was long over. You know what I saw? I saw in Indy, I saw a lot of what I saw out of Tom Brady in the first two or three games last year, and I said, there's no chance. They have no chance in this game. And then, you know, I was stunned to find out the next day that not only they had a chance to win, but of all people, Adam Vinatieri missed a chip shot.
That was terrible. I was heartbroken.
I know you must have been heartbroken.
Don't talk to me.
Yeah. But, you know.
In the grand scheme for the Patriots, it doesn't really matter, you know, on a game like that. But, you know, it's nice to see the Colts lose.
And, you know, it's tough for Manning when he doesn't have weapons and you're not at home and, you know, you're not pumping in music for your opponent and the refs aren't making calls for you. It's tough to win games.
Well, I wonder if Indy is up in arms this week, the way the Patriots fans
week. I think they should be. I think the refs screwed up on a couple calls.
So can we now kind of sway a little bit more to a Paul side and just say the referees stink?
Well, they were bad at the end of that game. There's no doubt about it.
And Dungy did a bad job.
Terrible job.
He did a bad job.
Yeah.
In that game. Not only just wasting the timeout, which he admitted to later, which was clearly
pretty much openly apologized for.
And he should, because he let his emotions get the better of him. As I joked yesterday, if you're going to let your emotions get the better of you, throw the red flag like Bill Belichick did against you and just take that as your timeout to yell at the officials. But also,
make up your own rules, right.
The other issue with that, the illegal motion on the play, that's something where he needs to oversee that play. It's clearly a designed play that they're going to use in situations like that.
He needs to let the ref know.
And it kind of brought me back to the play that they practiced against the Patriots
yeah.
all week long, where Manning went under snap and then it was a direct snap.
Yep.
he didn't know the he's practicing a play and then executing it the way they practiced it and getting a penalty because of it, because he's not managing it in a way
now,
that's
within
that the
that
rules.
Really was
I was going to say, now, the difference between the one here in the playoffs, they broke a rule in the playoffs.
Right.
I'm not –
This
based
one
on
is,
what I
is
saw.
A judgment call, I guess, if you think the guy is doing it to draw the guy – specifically to draw the guy off sides. I guess that's how they saw it.
I was listening to some of the guys talk on ESPN. Yes, I think Ditka was one of them. And he said, look, those are just natural football movements that you do every single play. If you're going to call – they said, you know, they could talk all they want about the tight end going in motion and shifting and all that. They called it on the center for lifting his head up.
Right.
And that happens on every single play. I mean, to me, it was one of those things. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about, Andy, with the play in the playoffs where, oh, that's how we practiced it.
Right.
Well, you practiced it wrong. And
right.
that shows that you're not as prepared as you might be. And this and one, I think,
so maybe
a
they
different...
got screwed, but I still don't think he coached a very good game.
And then
the interception too.
And then Romeo does the same damn thing.
Romeo took a bad timeout, a bad challenge.
And I think
he took
even,
a timeout yeah. and a challenge.
Right. And I think it's
really
even worse for him because in theory everybody thinks he's just bringing the Bill Belichick system with him to Cleveland. So doesn't he have a guy in the booth that's his job is to tell him challenge it, not challenge it, whatever, but do it quickly so you don't have to take a timeout, and then to lose the challenge on top of that, that's terrible.
All you had to do, I mean, why not, and Jim Nantz brought this up immediately to his credit, and that was the only game that I really watched from start to finish, and that was a great game. Why not just challenge it there? If you really think that there's a chance, I thought it was a bad challenge anyway, but there was about 3:13 left, which meant he only had another minute and 13
right,
seconds
gotta,
with which
still,
to use a
right,
challenge.
Right.
So you can't take the challenge with you. Once you go beyond the right. two-minute warning, you can't challenge anymore.
Right.
Whether the game goes into overtime or not.
You didn't have to call the timeout.
So why call a timeout? If you just throw your challenge flag, you lose, all you lose is the timeout.
Right.
You're taking a timeout anyway.
Right.
Yep, that's a good point.
Doesn't make any sense to do it the way
you did. But getting back to that Colts game, I think the other call, obviously, was that inadvertent whistle. That really screwed the Colts because they lost about 80 yards in field position.
Just bad calls. I mean, what are you going to do? The officials, I think, make bad calls every week.
So.
And that was a really bad one.
Yeah.
As Mike Pereira said, everything was okay.
Sure, we'll find out tomorrow night.
Did you read that report?
I'm sure that we'll find out.
Did they say at the beginning of the season that they were going to
emphasize?
That
was a point of emphasis.
If there's any doubt, don't blow the whistle.
Right, because you can't fix it.
I wonder if Bill Polian's going to sit there and give the refs a pat in the back this week.
But did you read that, I think Pro Football Talk said that Goodell called Pereira in to discuss
after the Patriots Colts game. Yeah.
I find that interesting if he's taking a more acute look at everything that's going on.
You get Kennesaw Mountain Goodell on the case and bang.
He'll be going without officials or something.
Lifetime banishment.
He changes everything.
Yeah, so it's definitely something has to be done here because I don't know if it's replay and they're getting a little lax because they know they've got replay, but you know, I know Paul's always thought they stunk,
but I
don't think that they have stunk as much as
this
I've
bad
seen.
Call. If they were getting lax, they should have let the play unfold because they can fix it on replay.
Fred, you bring up a good point, though, that I think is valid. I think that replay has kind of, you know, they might look at it and say, I'm not really sure,
right.
But the replay's going to fix it anyway.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I do think that that's part of it.
Yep. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482, and right off the bat, John in L.A. is on the phone. John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I was listening to, listening to that Patriots playbook.
Unfortunately.
I took a drive this weekend, and so I downloaded it and burned it onto a disc. I was like, what the hell is this?
Oh. That's John Rook.
I know. Well, I like John Rook, okay, but he's got, and those kids are fine. His little Mickey Mouse Club people.
Oh, he had his students
his
here,
interns
right?
Interns or whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
And they were fine, but they're saying things like, "Lawrence Maroney never runs between the tackles."
Yeah.
And I was like,
That's where you need to be listening live, so you can call up or email and set them straight.
Or
it
not
made me so annoyed. I almost did call up, even though I knew I was listening to it on a CD. I wanted to ask you guys something I forgot to ask last time about. The usage of Kyle Brady against the Colts.
Okay.
I sort of expected there would be some sort of Daniel Graham helping out with Freeney or helping out with Mathis thing. And I just didn't notice him doing that. And it showed, obviously, in the first half. Did you guys notice if he did that or not?
Paul's eating. I have to agree. I didn't notice a lot of it. I did notice Freeney and Mathis getting around the tackles a lot.
Exactly.
And causing some pressure.
I thought he was doing some of that. Yeah.
Some of it.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't on the field going out for passes, you know, more often than not.
Right.
When he's out there and passing on passing downs.
Right. Mark Reese does that breakdown of like how many plays each guy did, and Brady only played like a little over half the offensive snaps. I wondered if it was like his injury or whatever was a little.
It might have had something to do with injury, but I just don't think that. I don't think his workload is all that much more than that on a regular basis.
Right.
I mean, do you guys feel like he plays every snap?
No,
most weeks.
No,
I don't.
Well, I mean, I think in a lot of the formations where they spread out the Colts defense, they kept Falk in the backfield, and you know either to fake the draw to or for protection.
Chip.
And I think that might have taken Brady out of the game because they needed that spot for the extra receiver, you know, instead of an empty backfield. So
right.
I don't know. That's just one theory.
Hey, yeah. Can you guys talk a little bit about Eddie Jackson?
He's big.
I know he was one of the guys that, on his way out, like with Welker, Saban sort of put in an extra little call to Belichick, singing his praises. But I didn't. What have you guys seen or heard about Eddie Jackson and his potential to sort of fit the scheme really well and provide some good depth?
Well, in terms of what we've heard, same things you did, that Saban gave him a glowing recommendation, even though he was injured, and I think that had a lot to do with Bill signing him. Obviously, he looks at the film and sees what he is, but. You know, you look at him in his build-wise, he's one of those, and he's listed as a cornerback, but he looks like a safety, and he's just very big upper body. He looks like the kind of guy that could be a core special teamer with the size combined with his speed, and I think that's where you'll see his most immediate impact is on special teams.
Right.
And then in terms of defensive back, I don't know much about him, but, you know, he's a bottom of the roster type depth guy there, I think.
And who do you think gets the boot when he is healthy, if they decide to activate him? Mitchell or Geno Wilson goes on IR?
Well, I mean, Wilson's IR would always be a possibility as you get later in the year with these injuries that go on, you know, 3-4 type weeks. Mel Mitchell is still injured. I'm sort of surprised he's been able to avoid the IR spot for as long as he has, seeing as he's only a special teamer. And it's now, I mean, this is a month plus now that he's been injured and not even on the practice field, so not even really an option.
Well, he did this last game. He did take the trip, so he must have been a little bit closer this week. But I agree with Andy.
He wasn't on the field yesterday.
I agree with Andy. The guy, for a guy to be out as long as he's been out and really just be a core special teamer,
he is a beast.
Well,
I don't want.
Well, you wonder.
He's very good.
You wonder of where the bye fell if Belichick looks at some of these guys and say, "Let's see how they look after the bye."
Right.
And then make a decision.
He and Eric Alexander, I would think, would be candidates for close inspection at this time. I think that's a good point, Fred, because it does allow you to have that extra time without losing anything. There's no sense in making a roster move before that.
Right.
You give them, you get take the full 14 days over the bye and then reevaluate when you get to like Friday maybe of this week, Friday or Saturday.
And then, of course, Troy Brown started practicing yesterday. So. We'll see what they do with that. They have 21 days from yesterday.
From last Tuesday.
Oh, from last Tuesday.
Because even though they didn't practice, they opened the window there.
So now that's
November 28th, I want to say.
So
is the
14
day.
More days to make a decision on Troy Brown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, guys, can I make a request before I get blown up?
Sure.
Sure.
Can we hear No Disrespect to the Orientals and South Carolina Craig singing?
Okay.
All right, John.
Good stuff,
John. Those go to Gary. It's up to Gary.
Thanks.
If he gets his Red Queen, you're in.
He's looking at Jessica Alba sites.
We don't take requests, and no, I'm not playing a game.
But are you looking at a Jessica Alba site? Oh, I like her.
Web radio.
If not, why not?
Web no disrespect radio to the Orientals.
There you go.
That's Greg from North Carolina. Greg's moving. Were you here last week when he's moving?
Yeah, he's moving to North Carolina.
I never know when you're listening or not.
Hey, what was that you were talking about Eddie Jackson, Andy, and saying how big he was and, all yoked up and looks like the prototypical. But what was that? I already forget. Who was the huge cornerback that we picked up during training camp and he got cut right before the season?
The Carolina guy?
Yeah.
Dan Clayton.
Yeah. Zeus.
Dante Wesley.
Dante Wesley.
Is that his name?
Is it Dante Wesley?
I think you're so. Right.
Monte Bizzell and Wesley Millard.
As we always do when someone sends us lunch and sends us an email, we get to that right away. And Matt from Quincy's email just came in.
says, I hope the food came okay. It did. Thank you. I also hope Papa's added a plastic knife with Tom's uncut sub, and he got the joke. I believe they did.
Well, they did have an uncut sub and a knife, but we don't have a Tom.
Tom's not here. We're a little worried about him. I've got to say about the Colts game, but I'm too busy today to hang with the show. I may call tomorrow and say hi, but let me just say, after listening to Bill Polian's show on the Colts website, there are three things that make Polian grind his teeth down to the gums. They are the Patriots, the refs, and Aaron Moorhead. Funny stuff. Anyway, enjoy the food. Love the show. Thank you, Matt from Quincy. Now on our honor roll.
Good stuff, Matt. We appreciate
Moorhead.
It.
Bleep.
But you know something, Fred? I told you I watched about the first 5 minutes. It was 16-0. I saw enough of Aaron Moorhead. If he's still with that team at the end of the year, you can just – it goes to show you how desperate their situation is at receiver. He was responsible for like half of those interceptions.
And then
he just
later,
doesn't run routes.
Peyton Manning went to him on a 4th-and-2.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're out of your mind.
This could This could open me up for criticism, but I bring it up anyway because, you know, obviously one of my favorite guys, Tom Brady, was on the radio yesterday morning talking about, obviously, football and about his own team. But in the way he said it, I think he was taking a shot at the Colts.
Okay.
They're talking about how the Patriots, it's very important to build a team and to have enough depth in all areas so that when injuries happen, you can have guys step in and still win football games.
Well, not only I would say that I agree with you that it's a shot, I don't think it's a very accurate one. Because I think, you know, love them or hate them.
I think it is accurate, but go ahead.
I think the Colts showed you Sunday night that they are a team and that despite all of those guys, they didn't even have enough guys to fill the team. And they lost because their kicker missed a 29-yard field goal.
Well, the Patriots have started games with 44 guys.
Not that I can ever recall.
They did 2 years ago.
I'm not saying it didn't happen. Yeah. I just said not that I could ever recall.
All right. Well, they have.
St. Louis?
They didn't have a full 45-man roster. It was by choice, but they didn't have 44 men on game day.
Well, I don't ever remember that happening. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I just said I don't ever remember that happening.
Fred,
but I
nope,
think,
not at all.
But I also read on ProFootballTalk.com, I believe, today, Florio was also making the same point that they spent so much money on Freeney and Manning and Harrison that they don't have quality
depth.
Patriots
have spent money on Brady and Thomas
and
Seymour.
I mean, where I agree with that, and I talked about this on Sunday, I think that that's why you see the Colts' special teams are so bad.
Good, okay? Excellent point, Tom.
The Colts, I'm Paul.
Paul,
what a surprise. Someone else is getting credit for something I said.
Because that's where you do see the lack of depth.
I think that's a very valid argument because they have a lot of big money players, and rather than spread out the salaries the way the Patriots do after the top two or three guys, the Colts have more like top 8 or 10 guys. Mm-hmm. And then it's a lot of young guys on special teams, and this is not a new phenomenon. They've been rancid bad on special teams for 3 or 4 years now, and you saw it Sunday night with a kick return and a punt return for a touchdown. But I disagree with the notion that they're not a team. They just have a collection of individual stars, and if they're missing some of those, I think you saw, without a lot of their players the last two games against the so-called better teams in the league, on the road against San Diego and obviously at home against the Patriots, they were nose-to-nose and could have won either game, despite making tons of mistakes, despite not doing everything the way they're supposed to, you know, they're accustomed to doing. Peyton Manning throws 5 interceptions, and he still has a chance to kick a 29-yard field. Yeah, but at the time, it was only 5. He threw the last one in the last play of the game.
It was a Drew.
Yeah, it was a Drew pick. But when you throw 6, they all count. I thought, to me, that's a sign that they are pretty good, and I think that's kind of an unfair criticism.
Let's be honest. I mean, the Patriots, as deep as they may be, and they spread out the value of their roster, if you take away Moss and Welker, Matt Light.
Well, wait a minute.
Watch the games last year.
Harrison's their second-best receiver, right?
Or best.
Well, I thought Reggie Wayne's the best.
Well, according to,
if you take away
according to
Ben
one
Watson,
member,
who's their tight
Marvin,
end.
According to one member of
well,
this,
no,
Dante this show,
Stallworth
Dallas
and
Clark
Matt Light,
is Wes
the
Welker.
Patriots still win games.
Dallas Clark is Wes Welker
and
their
and
offense.
Fred, I think the Colts will win their share of games.
Right.
I think
and by the
would,
way, then you
words,
have to
Fred,
also take away Nick Kazier because they lost their backup, too. I'm just saying,
okay.
Let's
in
not
words,
just
Fred,
throw stones and say, well, we have all the depth in the world.
Fred,
we could
I think,
overcome
I think
all that.
They would go 12-4 is what I'm saying.
Right, and
like
the Patriots
did last
Super Bowls
year.
with depleted rosters.
I'm not willing. Not with the amount of guys that they – not with the quality
Let's
of
look
play
at it they,
without a shutdown cornerback.
Let's look at it legitimately, though. Randy Moss is Marvin Harrison. They're the top receiver.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on now. I see. I think when you say they might be their top receivers, but Randy Moss,
you don't think
is
Marvin
a hell of a lot better than Marvin Harrison?
I don't know about that. Have you seen Marvin Harrison's numbers?
I'm talking about in 2007.
Well, we won't know. The guy's been hurt all year.
Okay, even 2006. His abilities in 2006
were better than Randy Moss when he had 12 catches.
No, wait. Will you let me finish before you?
But you're totally poo-pooing a guy who some people believe is the second best receiver in the history of the game.
But not anymore.
But he's been hurt. That's why it's not anymore, Fred.
But even Harrison last year wasn't as good as Moss this year.
I would grant you that. Right. I'll give
but
you
Randy
that.
Moss this year is having a special year.
So it's not fair to compare losing Randy Moss to losing Marvin Harrison.
Why?
I think losing Marvin Harrison isn't as big as losing
but
Randy Moss.
But it is to them.
Forget
I'm not sure it should be.
If we're not going to argue this on even ground.
No, it shouldn't be. But listen, just because a lot – look, Tom is one guy who's very outspoken.
Maybe it is, but it shouldn't be is what
I'm saying. Of course it should be. Why shouldn't it be?
Because you should have other receivers.
They do. They just don't. Have another one as good as Marvin
Harrison.
But my
point is, if you plug in Kelly Washington and whoever next on the Patriots depth chart, the offense is going to be hindered. If you take out Matt Leck, the offense is going to be hindered. So I don't think it's fair to just throw stones and say, yeah, we have great depth. You don't know what you have.
The Patriots have better depth than the Colts.
Yes, they do.
No question.
Okay. Yes, they do.
But that's I think if you
saying.
Take away their number one and their numbers and their slot receiver,
but
their starting
not...
left tackle, their backup left tackle, two starting linebackers, their best defensive end, suddenly the Patriots would look like a lot different team too.
And they may still, without all of that, the Patriots...
They may win.
They may still win the
Super Bowl.
Because
Bill Belichick may not make the dumb mistakes that Tony Dungy did.
But they're not going undefeated the way they are now. They're doing what they did last year with all those players.
Okay, no, that's fair. That's fair.
And I think the Colts will do the same thing. I think the Colts would be a 12-14 without all those guys.
Unless they keep losing.
Well, they happen to play the two toughest teams on their schedule in back-to-back weeks.
Good point. They won't be a 12-4 team if they keep losing.
They keep losing.
The best part I thought about...
You can make the argument, Fred, that they probably should have won both games.
I think the funniest thing is the next two teams in the AFC, maybe, the Colts and the Chargers... One won and thinks they're a worse team because they won because all their players
and
hate their coach and they're eye-rolling. And the other one is bang. I mean, the Patriots just pull further and further away from the pack. I mean, the Steelers were lucky they were able to come back. And the Patriots just sit home and go, you know what? We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, totally changing the subject. The next time when we're doing our picks on Thursdays and I tell you about a red flag spread, will you please make sure that I don't fall into the trap?
Which one?
The Lions.
The Lions.
I told you that lime smelled.
We all stunk on that.
I knew that line stunk.
I think I had a terrible week. I don't know.
No, you actually had a good week. You had a bad week picking winners, a
good week,
on
with
the spread.
Yes.
You and I did very well against the spread.
Yeah. I know the winners. They did awful. Hey, on the phone right now is Anthony in Naples.
Sorry, Anthony. That was my
Anthony,
phone.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, guys?
Good,
Anthony.
Hey, just on that argument that you guys were talking of there, I think you forgot a little point there, too, is that I think why the Colts got hurt so much, as in, like, why they weren't playing that well on offense, is that I sat there and I watched the game, and they made the point of saying that it was almost 5 years since the last time Peyton Manning actually had a huddle. And I think that makes a huge difference when you get your backups in there because, you know, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and Peyton Manning, they're always on the same page when they look at the same defense when they're on their field. So they know what they're going to do. You know, they have three plays that they go in there with, and they're just used to that chemistry. And I think when you throw one backup in there, like Moorhead, all of a sudden everything gets thrown off as in timing. And then I think it causes a domino effect with the rest of the guys.
Well, I do think that something worth discussing is that they have been such a cohesive unit with Manning, Harrison, Wayne, Dallas Clark, and that they haven't really rotated guys through or dealt with the adversity of changing weapons, and that's been a strength for them over the years. That's one of the reasons they've been so good on offense, but when you do lose those key guys, it's a greater challenge because you
well,
have
that's the
no
thing.
Experience
I mean,
working with
the Colts have been,
in.
You know, other than Edgerrin James a couple times in the past, those core guys that you just mentioned hardly ever got hurt. I mean, Manning never did.
Well, Manning, Harrison, and Wayne have been remarkably healthy, but Dallas Clark has missed a lot of
time. Well, he broke a foot against the Patriots in that game.
And he's been in and he was out of the lineup a lot last year. On defense, obviously, Bob Sanders has missed half the games that he's been
I'm just talking about Manning's tools.
Well, I think his two wide receivers have been healthy, but his tight end and his running back haven't always been healthy. So some have been healthy and some haven't.
Those two guys, Manning, those three guys have always been healthy.
Yeah, and Stokely also was a guy that was always hurt when he played. Another
loose
one,
change.
I totally agree, Fred.
Yeah, he's Wes Welker.
proof that if you have dynamic receivers on the outside, anybody can catch 1,000 yards with a pass.
Once again, we're going to demean what Wes Welker's done this year.
I never even brought him up.
Yeah.
Okay. I just agreed with your assessment
of
Brandon Stokes.
I know what you're saying.
I agreed with your assessment.
I know what you're saying.
All I did was agree with your assessment of Brandon Stokley.
Anthony, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still on the line because I had another point, too, guys.
What do you got?
I really called up for this reason, though, because I was listening to the podcast. As you know, I listen to you guys later. And let me tell you something. When that girl from California called you guys.
Giggling little schoolboys in here, huh?
Oh, my God. That was the most uncomfortable silence that I've ever dealt with in my life. Can I tell you something? When you watch a movie and you get almost embarrassed, or like ashamed when you're watching the movie. That's how I felt listening to the podcast.
Right.
Guys, you embarrassed me.
You had to see how red Tom's face got. It was.
I could listen. I didn't have to see it. I knew it was going on. You could just tell, like, you know, just a little like changes in the voice and just how uncomfortable. And you could just tell. I'm sorry to say, guys, but you guys are married. You've been out of the game for a while. You know what I mean? It was just
that's
like,
true. That's a good
just,
point.
It was a little pathetic seeing the old timers go and try making moves.
That's funny.
Well, yeah. The thing that caught us off guard is, you know, we were being a little flirtatious, and then she kind of flirted back, and then we were
then
really
young. We didn't know what to do.
Well, the other thing is we have to watch what line we cross. I'm sure if
we have lines,
if this wasn't on the air, these guys would have been a little different. And probably got
all right,
trouble.
Guys, I just got one more point before I go. You guys are asking what sports athlete would be great as a president?
Yeah.
I think The Rock. I know it's not real sports, but The Rock would be a great president, laying the smack down.
All right. The Rock.
All right, take it easy, guys.
He's intelligent, versatile, well-spoken.
I'm not sure I would have even thought that he would be a candidate.
No.
That Rock guy.
Well, Jesse Ventura did it.
He's great at speeches. He made his wrestling career based on talking, not on wrestling.
I didn't say it was
that Rock guy.
I didn't say it was a.
And
know,
he did play
terrible.
Real sports. I mean, you played football at the University of Miami.
If you want to go down that road, my vote goes to Roddy Piper.
Boxer Fluffy. He's not an American citizen, though, is he?
Oh, he isn't?
Oh, is that just
Dan Fico?
Is that one of those wrestling things?
He was actually from
Bayonne, New Jersey.
Probably. But I think The Rock would be a legitimate candidate. Why not? Can't have Jordan now. He's divorced.
That Rock guy.
See that?
That
biggest settlement in the history of settlements.
Is that right? Bigger than McCartney?
Biggest settlement.
Well, that one hasn't been finalized yet.
Did you see that? Biggest settlement in the history of settlements.
Well, it was like $168 million she gets.
And half his underwear drawer.
Okay.
All right.
That Pittsburgh game, Fred.
Yeah.
You didn't get it. Well, you've never really been critical of Roethlisberger anyway. We'll have to save this for Thursday.
No, he's great.
But, man.
Oh,
I think it's worthless hot dog. I think that's what his name is.
You talk about putting a team on his back.
Well, we were talking yesterday, and Tom says Carson Palmer has to be considered the third best quarterback in the league right now. I go, no, fourth, because
Roethlisberger
has to be number three.
I would probably take Palmer, but I would take my chances with Palmer, quarterback in Pittsburgh.
That was a coming out game for him.
Palmer
this season.
Is more traditional.
That
he's
was
a better thrower.
Look at
but
his
Roethlisberger.
His numbers good. Are better than Manning's this year.
The run that he had.
Yeah.
For the touchdown was amazing, but even better.
Well, I mean, he looked kind of stilted running down there.
It was like Brady's running in Chicago.
It was a great decision to run. He didn't look good running.
Well, he's more athletic than Brady.
He's a cripple right now with his hip injury.
I'm just saying, he didn't look that good.
He ran 30 yards for a touchdown. I don't care how he got there. I don't care the style.
Cleveland played
11 yards more than Lawrence Maroney's run, looking good.
And then they scored that touchdown to go ahead. You think, okay, he did it. He brought him from behind, and Cleveland runs the kickback, and then he does it again. And to me, the more impressive run was the third down in the red zone where he had like three guys between him and the first down marker, and he just got the corner, turned around, squared his shoulders, and dove forward for the first down. They just showed it again on the NFL Network. But I don't know how anybody can watch that guy play and say he doesn't have anything to do with the team's success.
No, My confidence was a little shaken last year when Rivers was having a good year, but I'm now back to where Andy Hart was right on that day of GM.
I still think
Philip Rivers is going to be a pretty good quarterback, although he's having an absolutely terrible year. But Roethlisberger has been a good quarterback from the first
day watch the Giants
he stepped
game?
On the field.
Romo had a good game, too.
Well, I think Romo's pretty good.
You know, and if we're in the business of giving credit where credit's due, you got to give some credit to Terrell Owens on Sunday. He had a good game. I got to give it to him, even though I still can't stand him.
Well, no one ever questioned his talent.
Yeah. But even then, he's been dropping balls.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
I
doesn't
mean,
always
he,
come through.
Even
when
he dropped, like last year, even when he dropped, I mean, he had 15 touchdowns.
Yeah,
right, he made
I mean,
plays. He's always going to be a playmaker.
But, you know, Dallas looks like the best team out of the NFC right now.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, I watched a little bit of Green Bay, and I know they played Minnesota, and not only that, but Peterson got hurt, as Andy predicted, by the way.
And that game kind of played, like, remember how we were talking about on paper this game looks like a layup because of the way the teams matched up?
Right.
I was happy when I saw that score and said.
Yeah, it turned out to be a layup.
The boys got it right on Friday.
Green Bay is pretty good. Green Bay, their defense is Del Rio, and I think that the way Favre has played.
And they found some running back this week?
Well, I think that was.
What did he do?
That was kind of fluky, I think.
Oh, I just saw that he had numbers.
He had 100 yards. I mean, he had. But
against Minnesota, which is impressive.
Yeah, no one's done that in a long time.
Yeah.
Who is
he? Was it Ryan Grant?
Grant, yeah.
I think was his name. He had a long run early in the game.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
A little suede?
Yeah. He had like 90 yards like a minute into the second quarter.
Okay.
And he finished with like 112.
Let's see. We're arguing about the Colts in San Diego. And Josh writes in, give me a break. The Bolts are terrible. Their coach and offense are inept. You are giving the Colts too much credit for keeping it a close game. I don't care how many players they were down. Manning is supposed to be a demigod. Let him fry when he sucks, just like everyone. Bill Walsh's him when he does well. He should be able to handle the changes just like Brady has over the years. Hear, hear.
Yeah, but my only point about that is, and I don't disagree with any of that email. I think it's very accurate. I don't think San Diego is a very good football team right now.
It's
and
like
I,
Brady dealt with the changes early last year when he was
point, bitching
and moaning, and body language was the topic du jour.
Everybody is looking at what the Patriots did as a whole in 2006, and they forget that it was a process that took the whole year. I mean, do we forget that week three game against Denver where they looked like they could have played for 4 weeks and not scored 17 points against Denver that day?
That is true.
And that's what basically what you were looking at Sunday night was that was the first time that Manning had to do that. Now, to Brady's credit, by the end of the two, and I saw the story today in the Boston Herald, they quoted Tom's father, Tom Sr.
Oh, Tom Casale?
No, Tom Brady.
Oh.
And he was saying how he thought Brady was better in 06 than he's been so far in 07. And I think there's an argument to be made for that in light of what he had to work with, and we all talked about it. By the end of the year last year, the Patriots' offense was pretty formidable. And that was a testament to Brady.
Okay.
And now, if Manning is still throwing six picks 5 weeks in a row, you know, while dealing without the picks, then I'll say you were right, Fred.
All right. Well, listen, we got a lot of emails. We're going to get right to them right after this break.
Been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at Patriots Extra Points.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
You know, this music reminds me that if you're in the Foxborough area tomorrow night, no, the 14th. What's tomorrow? 13th?
Today's the 13th.
Tomorrow night, Bass Pro is having their night of conservation. You can go there and meet Matt Light, Rodney Harrison,
Fred Kirsch,
a couple of the other guys, some NASCAR people, a bunch of other celebrities.
Who's the NASCAR guy? Kenseth?
I don't know who it is.
That's not the direction I thought you were going in when you started
that. More importantly, Bass Pro is a great place to do some Christmas shopping.
Okay, that's where I thought you were going.
I have heard people raving about what it looks like inside.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
You know, if you're thinking it's like L.O. Bean or anything,
I'm not even
it's
mad.
Not even close to that.
It's
this is like an indoor amusement park.
Right,
it's,
for it's outdoorsmen like yourself. Isn't it something like the average Bass Pro customer spends like 5 hours in there or something because they go to every segment and play
yeah.
with everything?
I mean, I don't know, but
their research is ridiculous.
I know in their flagship store or their original store in Missouri, it's the number one tourist destination in the state of Missouri.
Bigger than Brantford?
Well, that's a city. That's a town. But if you take
everything you pitch for comes with like a
well, if you take any one place in Brantford, Bass Pro does better than that as far as people visiting it.
Okay.
So it's huge.
St. Louis?
Once people it's a city. I mean, more people go to New York than Bass Pro, okay?
The Arch?
Yes. More people go.
I just wanted to finish positive there so you could have your little
yes,
fun.
Yes, yes. That would qualify.
I wanted to stop shooting holes in your whole argument.
That would qualify.
See, Fred, it's not just me that gives you a hard time.
And the good news is you're going to have to buy something at Bass Pro Shops, probably a tent, a sleeping bag, because once you get in the parking lot, finding your way out is impossible. Because I went over there yesterday and I couldn't get out.
That's good. That's good, Andy. Make sure you accentuate the negative. That's good. That's good.
Will that be added to the list of things we're asked
yes.
please not discuss on the show?
Did you hear about that nut lady that drove into the
yeah.
thing?
Wow. Yeah. What, she was actually just trying to get out of there.
I meant to ask you about
Carol
that.
Carol Hardy.
Yeah.
What was that all about? What's the word?
I don't know. She ran the guard shack, knocked down the gate, and then ran right through the metal door into the Patriots practice facility, had the car in the middle of the field with the door still on her hood, and she was looking for Chris Slade.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Yeah,
wait, not surprisingly,
she actually
got
all the way into the
yeah.
onto the field. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she smashed through the door.
No, I heard that story. I didn't realize that
yeah.
she got that you know
yeah.
that far.
And wow. was looking for a linebacker who hasn't been here since 2000.
Chris Slade, good guy by the way. Chris Slade.
She's now gone to the hospital for observation.
She needs it,
but
probably
this is,
a padded
this is the
room.
The fear and terror that we live. That we have to work under day by day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tough. That's why we appreciate your
I
love.
I have a few other things that
we can't
I'd like
go
to
out.
Add.
That's why we
we'll,
appreciate
we'll
it.
We'll be attacked if we go outside.
Especially if they think we're Chris Slade.
All right, Web Radio at Patriots.com. TG and NJ writes in, welcome back from the bye week, you bill-soaking cork washers. So is Fred still grinning after Adam's missed kick? Has Tom changed out of his weekend sweats yet? Did Andy get,
yes and no.
Did Andy get caught up on some sleep? Did somebody call Paul
Not
and
really.
Tell him the bye week is over and he has to go back to work?
Unfortunately.
Is Gary still looking for a Red King? I was worried that the Bills could be a trap game, but then I watched them play the Dolphins. Do you think they will be looking for some payback for Wilfork's hit and try to take a shot at Brady?
No.
I don't know. If possible, would the Patriots go back to playing with a big lead and running up the score? And if they do have a comfortable lead, will the Jackson boys see some playing time?
Possible.
There's a lot of stuff on that one.
Yeah, and he says, how about them Cowboys? Can't wait till Turkey Day, Old Favre versus Young Favre.
How about them Cowboys?
Reference to Tony Romo.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. There's a lot of stuff going on there. The Jackson boys, you know. I will say the one thing I wholeheartedly agree with on that email is anybody who had any lingering, you know, doubt, fear, I don't know, whatever, taking Buffalo seriously, that's out the window. You saw what they did Sunday. They can't play. They're just not. They've beaten some very bad football. They beat the Jets twice. They beat Miami. They've beaten a lot of.
They got a lot of heart, but they came close. They played
teams.
The Packers.
Yeah, I know, but you saw all you needed to see in comparison to the Patriots.
It could have been 7-2.
Sunday.
Bill told us yesterday,
and they could be. They could be, but they're not because you know why they're not? Because they stink.
Right.
And the only reason why they're 5-4 is because there's a couple other teams in the league that stink more than they do.
Most of them in their division.
And they happen to get lucky, and those teams, two of them happen to reside in the AFC East.
But, you know, the world is kind of turned upside down. So anything could happen this weekend because I found out yesterday, much to my chagrin, that my favorite restaurant on the road, Billy Ogden's in Buffalo, closed its doors on October 29th.
This really ruined your week, didn't it?
It really did. I was looking forward to that.
You know, any lingering glee you had over Adam missing a 29-yard field goal has been erased
by
Billy Ogden's.
The grin got wiped off my face when I learned about that. So
now
that's
you're
going
to have to resort to a chain restaurant.
So if anyone is in the Buffalo area and has something that even comes close to Billy Ogden's, let us
So
know.
Are you just going to go out and big time us then? Why don't you go out with the big shots and let Andy and I just slum in it like the Anchor Bar?
I thought you didn't want to go to the Anchor Bar.
I said I'll go wherever anybody else is going.
Well, Bill Wild Wings.
I said I will go wherever.
What city are we
going to
be
I'll go wherever Buffalo. Anybody else wants to go. That's why I was going to Billy Ogden's. I was going just to hang out with you guys. Camaraderie.
Well, you can't do that somewhere else?
Yeah, but I was figuring if you went big time just then we wouldn't have anybody objecting to go to the Anchor Bar.
Well, I don't know if there's any place too big time you were there.
Yeah, you
Otherwise
already said.
I would. What?
I don't know. You had a couple of
Well, there's the Buffalo Chop House, but eh. I mean, I went to St. Elmo's 2 weeks ago. That's basically
Gary, what was the name of the place that you and I and Rob went to about 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
It was about 45 minutes away. I don't
know. Yeah,
remember.
I know. But what was the name of it? It wasn't that Duff's or Buff's or whatever.
No, it wasn't
the Dirty
Duff's.
Clam.
Okay. Wings and the Duff.
No, that was a regular place that we went to. Wasn't one of those shady establishments.
Tony Donato says, I have a bone to pick with PFW. For about the sixth time this season, I've been receiving my PFW very late.
Carol Hardy.
For example, today I received my October 31st issue.
Carol Hardy.
This is occurring too often and is becoming annoying.
Hardy. I would hate
to punish you guys by not buying you any more lunches. Are you sure you're circulating?
Hey, Carol, get that straightened out now. Do you understand
How many times
me?
We have to tell you.
Are you sure your circulation manager is not the Carol Hardy that played Major League Baseball in the 50s and 60s? Maybe you need to
pinch
hire
hit for Ted Williams and yes.
I'm saying that Carol Hardy could do a better job.
Even if it is a little late, I still enjoy the information
dead.
The paper contains.
Gary.
We mail it Monday night. I apologize, but we got to find out what's going on with the post office.
I'll save you a call from Carol. Your postman is stealing it. That's usually the excuse she gives people.
One other item, the so-called worldwide leader in sports, especially on the Frickin' Frack morning radio show, keeps regurgitating the Spygate issue. It is so apparent that one particular host has nothing but contempt for Belichick.
That'll be Mike Greenberg.
And he freely admits it.
He freely admits he doesn't like
it. It has gotten to the point that I switched to another station. I would like to know if you guys have any comments, not so much on the actual episode of Spygate, but as to journalism, and when do you stop stirring the pot just for what I believe is ratings and self-aggrandizement?
I don't think Mike and Mike are journalists. I think they're entertainers. I think sports talk radio is entertainment.
Right. I would agree with that.
I don't think we're journalists right now. We're entertainers.
I mean, if people...
It might not be funny.
Do they take calls on that show, or is it just...
Very, very, very rarely. Really? Mostly it's guests that they have in...
Mostly it's them doing what we do, talking about Lord only knows what at times.
Yeah. Yeah,
this morning they were talking about how he's in love with Rachel Ray.
But not Rachel
cooking.
Ray, the just the cooking.
He can't walk by a TV when she's on without stopping, but he mouths like he's
right.
eating.
It has nothing to do with the woman. It has more to do with the food that she's cooking. But
maybe if he wasn't on that stupid diet, he
wouldn't. Who was that, Tony? Tony Donato?
Yeah.
He's right. I mean, Mike Greenberg hates Belichick. He says it. He comes right out and says it.
Right. Where does he know him from?
He's like a Jets version of Fred Kirsch. He's a Jets homer.
He likes the Jets.
Oh, he's a Jets guy.
And because of him leaving, you know, the whole manner in which he left, he doesn't like Belichick.
I mean, it would be like you talking about Polian. You're a Patriots guy.
Gotcha. No. Although I have a reason to do it, and Greenberg doesn't.
Well, no, but his reason.
I understand.
No, I'm just saying. His reason is the whole thing with leaving.
He feels like a jilted lover.
Right.
Jonas writes in, he says, in the spirit of Bill Simmons' silly column on the improbability of an undefeated fantasy season, has any team in your memory ever gone 16-0 against the spread? Obviously, the Patriots will not achieve that this year. I was just wondering. I don't know.
Not that I know of, but
Tom would
know. Tom would know that. Yeah, he would come up with like 1984 or someone, you know.
Right.
Someone made a run and then they changed the spread in week 13. You know, I don't know.
Salt's writing in. How's Pepper, Salt? I would love your opinion on a few things. First off, the Colts lost a second in a row. I bet tons of fans are talking about how Vinatieri missed those field goals. I want to bring up how the other genius coach in the NFL, Tony Dungy, wasted a timeout to complain to the refs that could have saved them a lot of time.
Yep.
Instead of 22 seconds left, they could have had about a minute, have opened up a couple more plays in the playbook to try to get back into kicking range. Also, I read an article in Pro Football Weekly. It talked about how all the players the Pats let go of turned to garbage. Do you think that has any merit or might be overblown? Lastly, guys, who would you rather kill, Jerry Jones or Al Davis? Gary, keep playing that push it.
Who would I rather kill? I don't want to kill either of them.
Yeah, I don't really
hold anything.
I don't really have much contempt for either
Al
guy.
Davis.
Now, Tom would definitely say Jerry Jones.
Right.
I say Davis.
Okay.
Why?
I'll be with you, Fred. I'll be a company man for once.
All right.
I don't want to kill anyone. I'm a lover, not
getting
a hater.
Getting back to the
that was a terrible.
We ripped him, but
terrible
where has
move.
Anyone ever called? I mean, this past week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Belichick Dungy, and we said Belichick. Hall of Famer, genius, one of the greatest coaches ever. Dungy, good coach.
I've never heard anyone call Tony Dungy a genius. On this show,
I think he's the second best coach in the league, but that doesn't
but
make
I've
him
never
a
heard him call
the
genius.
Wide gap between he and Belichick.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that this is the example of a somewhat minor thing that very much affected the game.
And let me also say this though too.
Little
and
things like that,
Fred. I do think there's a major gap in between Belichick and anyone else. I think Belichick is far and away the best at his craft, but. Were we not saying similar stuff in terms of the timeouts last year in the AFC Championship game? If Bill had called a timeout on the play before a die, on the second down, not waiting till third down, maybe the Patriots have a minute 45 or a minute 30.
But the worst
at the
part,
end of the game
the
instead of just a minute
is one is a strategic decision, and one is flat out
losing
your cool.
This was a terrible
and
move.
As the leader of a team, not. Being composed, not doing what's best for the team
terrible,
at that time.
Terrible move. Like you said, do what Bill did. Throw your red flag out there and whine about it. Make your own rules.
You know, the thing is, you're coming off a game where even though the majority of the calls didn't go against you, you still realize that the refs sucked the week before. And so you're kind of an alert to that. And I think you're right. Dungy did kind of lose it a little bit.
He did. He lost it. And he made a bad decision.
Clearly what the tight end did on that play, on the motion play, he thought was legal.
Right.
I mean, and it was designed to draw guys offside, yes, but it's not.
I didn't think it was a big deal.
I actually thought
Fossil?
If I had the first down and the third down run,
Was it Fossil with the Giants that they used to do all that?
I don't remember.
The getting up and going back
like
down and all that?
Well, 752.
Oh, they had a lot of shifts and movements, and Bill used to talk about that? Yes, it was Fossil, yes.
And I just didn't see it much different than what I've seen those teams do and other teams around.
But, you know, look.
Well, now, what's the rule, though? In the you know, like in baseball with the balk, once you come to a set, you have to go to the plate. You can't, you know, or go, you know, you can't make a false move once you've gone to the set. What is it in football? Once you're down set, there is a point where, you know, unless the center is doing his normal thing, the lineman can't move.
But even that's been relaxed
well,
over
that's
the years.
Well, that's the thing.
You just have to be set
for
a full second before the snap.
Yeah, what I'm about to say with Manning. You just, you know, it's impossible to know when that
right.
is because he'll go, make the motion like then he steps back and he walks
and
around.
And they get up and the right. linemen are listening. So they get up out of their stance.
But you have
right.
to set for a full second before the snap.
Right.
If you're those linemen.
So that's it. It's just the full second before the snap.
But regardless of whether or not there was a bad call or a good call against them, Andy's point at the top and your point, Fred, is right, because he didn't do – he made a decision based on emotion that cost his football team, wasn't in the best interest of his team.
Right.
That's where the mistake is made. It's not necessarily – like you said, Andy, it wasn't necessarily a strategical thing. This right. was just
This was a Paul Perillo reaction.
You did what a coach can't do. That's why I could never be a coach, because I'm way too emotional. You can't do that stuff.
Now, what about
that's what's holding you back.
What about the knowledge of the game.
What about the second part of this email about all the people the Patriots let go turn into garbage?
But who did they let go who went from good to garbage? I mean,
I don't really think
we all thought the Broncos overpaid for Daniel Graham.
But I don't think that really they had any players that you looked at and said that you know, that was pretty – I mean, Adam Vinatieri has not turned to garbage because he missed a 29-yard field goal. I mean, he was still a great kicker last year and a great kicker in the playoffs.
Right.
Ty Law, you know, has had a couple of really, really good years.
And
Damian Woody took a lot of money in Denver. He's a guard. I couldn't tell you how good he's played in Detroit. There are a lot of guys that have gone.
There's none.
And have not really been heard from again, but that doesn't mean
– David Givens has multiple major injuries.
Right. I don't necessarily – you know, Deion Branch was off to a fantastic start this year before getting injured.
He would be the best case scenario because I think he was at a high level, and if next year he plays in 15, 16 games and catches 32 passes,
that's a guy who turned to nothing.
Right.
But you have to say that one of the Patriots' reluctance in giving this guy break-the-bank money is that he was injury-prone.
That's true.
Right.
You're right.
So
that's why they couldn't play him in the preseason.
You're right, Fred. So that is one of the reasons why they didn't re-sign him.
Let's see. Ed says, Fred suspects other listeners to the show steal ideas without giving credit, and I agree. On the PFW podcast, the Friday before the Colts-Patriots game, in the last 2 minutes, Felger was talking about how it was almost refreshing how Belichick was so in your face about running up the score late in the fourth quarter. That prompted the show host that day, it wasn't Fred, to mention my email where I compared Belichick's rampage through the NFL to the movie scene in Gladiator where Maximus leaves all his opponents lying in a bloody heap and then yells out defiantly to a stunned crowd, "Are you not entertained?" Gary, you don't have that? No.
No, Andy yells it, though, all the time.
Did
I steal it? I gave him credit, right?
No, he's not saying. Let me finish. Sure enough, on Monday morning after the Colts-Patriots game, I had Fox Sports News on Sirius Satellite Radio, and the sports show they were broadcasting was playing over and over the clip from Gladiator yelling the crowd, "Are you not entertained?"
They stole it.
Whenever they talked about the undefeated Patriots, I thought at the time it seemed like an odd coincidence. It's Ed from New Hampshire.
Ed, they stole your material.
And he says, "I drive a truck long haul and stay out for months. I enjoy and appreciate the podcast." Ed, we appreciate you listening to us.
Absolutely.
Well, how do you get it?
He downloads it on his iPod.
But we're at the local library and wherever he goes?
They have internet.
Where?
I don't know.
Truck stops?
It's all over the place. It's not just here at Gillette.
I'm just saying, I find it intriguing that the guy's got a laptop.
I'll bet you
in
they have Wi-Fi at all those truck stops. I'll bet you they do.
I find it interesting. Ed, email back in. Give us the details of how you do your daily internet access and downloading of the podcasts.
Okay.
I'm interested in our listeners. I feel like we're a big family here at Patriots.com Radio.
Okay.
Who are you today?
I don't know. I'm just in one of those moods.
You are. You've been giddy ever since you got that new laptop back.
Very excited. Very excited about my new laptop.
Andy
backpack.
And Tom got backpack laptop bags, and Paul says he wouldn't be seen dead with it.
Because Paul's too cool. You know, people wouldn't notice that he's fat, bald, and old before they saw the backpack.
I have to add some element of interesting thing to it. I can't just say they got bags and that's it.
Well, you can't just say that I don't like backpacks. You have to say, like, I wouldn't be caught dead in that.
Image-conscious Paul Perillo.
You pretty much said you wouldn't be caught dead with a backpack.
No, I definitely wouldn't have the two straps at the same time. That I wouldn't be caught dead in.
You wouldn't be caught dead using a backpack the way a backpack is designed to be used.
Right.
Okay. He's too cool for that.
All right.
I don't know why you have to speak in such a mocking tone, Andy.
I have to say, though, I couldn't see Paul with a backpack. That wouldn't look right.
No, you wouldn't be able to see the backpack behind Paul.
Oh.
Fat bastard.
You see, now why is that okay?
Well, you get mad
when I'm a lover, and now I make fun of you.
No, I didn't get mad.
I thought you wanted the old Andy back.
I don't know
so
where
the old Andy takes
I don't know
where
you thought I was getting mad. I was just wondering what happened to you. Yeah. I had a little concern.
Try to be positive. Quick Monday Night Football, since I don't watch the games. The girl on the right, when Hank Williams walks into the bar to open Monday Night Football, is absolutely phenomenally hot.
She there every week? Oh, yeah. Is it just like
yeah,
a
it's the same too. I think,
and she's slightly chilled, if you know what I mean, with a tight white shirt on.
Oh boy,
good stuff.
I've never seen it. I don't watch Monday Night Football.
It's the best part of the game.
What do you watch TV with a box of Kleenex next to you all day?
Whom? Oh God,
dirty sock.
Oh God.
See, I just follow Fred's lead.
Good, good. Rob from Brisbane, Australia.
Oh, did you see the runaway kangaroo?
No.
It was loose in, I think it was in Australia, running around a neighborhood. They had to catch it. It was crazy.
Wow.
It's on the news this morning.
Is that like when the moose get loose here?
Oh, another. I had a deer in my yard Saturday morning.
It's like a running stream of
consciousness. No, listen. I'm in the dining room.
That's me.
I turn my head, and I see this huge shadow. It was a huge buck.
Right.
Which I usually see the does just walking around eating.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
was a big one with antlers.
That's the one I hit in my Jeep.
Well, it had a broken right leg, and
You're
it was out
me.
To the right. And I'm like, well, what should we do? It's just walking around the yard, look, it's stumbling, eating apples off the ground near the apple tree.
Wow.
And so I called the cops, and they're like, yeah, we got to come and shoot it because it's.
Aww.
So then they come, but it must have known they were coming because it was hopping down, and it jumped the stone wall in the backfield and disappeared into the woods. But
yeah, I nailed one in my Jeep
buck.
Back then. It was a
somebody
big,
nailed
buck.
This one. It
because it
disgusting.
Has a broken leg, they had to shoot it?
Because it's going to die, and something I think it's, quote, more humane to just kill it instantly.
Yeah.
Because I would, sooner or later, a coyote will catch it or something will eat it, right, I would assume.
I don't know how that works.
But it looked great. I mean, it was like Joe Theismann, like just sticking out to the right.
Really?
Completely. Oh.
Was he
and
a bad analyst, too?
Pretty good, too.
On three legs, yeah. It was a three-legged buck.
Wow.
And then at one point, it stopped to eat something high off
right
the tree.
By the name of Lucky?
Was walking around on two legs, just eating off the top of the tree.
Wow.
And then my neighbor found out it was a big buck, because I called him first. He's a hunter. And I said, you want? He goes, nah, I don't have time. And plus, I'll get in trouble if I shoot it in the yard, or so you got to be 500 feet from houses or something.
Yeah.
And
can't you just go up and slit its throat?
Well, you probably could have this one, but
plus,
then
on Andy's estate, Fred, I'm sure you could have had plenty of time to lure it.
No
away
kidding.
From
no,
more
but
than
the funny thing
you
know. Is, I don't know anything about deer, so I said, I don't know. It's a deer, but it's a male one. It's got antlers.
Yeah.
And he goes, nah. And then it walks back so he can see it from his window. All of a sudden, he calls me. You didn't tell me it was an 8-point buck.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he got excited, and I see him going out with his bow and arrow looking for
it. Oh, God.
Is that right?
Yeah, but I don't think he found it.
Well, the good thing is now with Bass Pro, you can go and learn all about that stuff.
I wouldn't mind having a bow and arrow for the backyard. That'd be cool.
That's
a
only
nice compression bow and arrow.
Only yeah. destined to end in tragedy with you.
Me with an arrow sticking through my forehead.
Yes. So let's just hope that it's you inflicting
not Jackson.
Inflicting harm just on yourself and not on your wife or your child.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, Rob from Brisbane, Australia. When is Bill going to put the brakes on destroying the entire 49ers franchise? He seems to have his voodoo dolls working overtime on them. It's getting to the point that if the Jets and Rams win two more games, with the Rams getting to play the 49ers once more, the Super Bowl champion Patriots could have the number two pick in the draft. Obviously, we will trade down for Ray Malaluga or James Laurinaitis, but we will probably pick up a couple of high draft picks to replenish our defense. If there is such a thing as karma, Roger Goodell will rue the day he revealed Bill as a cheat.
Well, it's playing out like it could be very entertaining for PFW and Progress hosts and listeners because, based on all accounts, Jerry Jones madly in love with McFadden. And if the Patriots have a top five pick and the Cowboys have two first-round picks, I mean, those are going to be the most obvious partners there for trading and could be entertaining.
Depends on what happens in the playoffs. If we beat them in the Super Bowl, all bets are off. They may not want to be talking to us.
Okay.
And that could happen. Let's see. Louis.
That could happen, Fred.
Louis says PFW sucks.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Packers-Cowboys is also an NFL network game. They just stealing from. I mean, it couldn't have worked out better for
they've
them. They're the undefeated Patriots and the best game in the NFC.
They've gotten big games.
Well, that's one of the reasons why Jerry Jones took over. You know, Robert Kraft was chairman of the broadcast committee, I guess, for a number of years. This year, Jerry Jones took that over.
Thank you, Robert.
Because in his area, he's got a big feud going on with whatever. I think it's Comcast down there. And, you know, so many of his fans can't get Comcast or something like that. But
yeah,
he's very
Cox
upset
subscriber.
That the NFL Network is not going to be available to a lot of the Dallas Cowboy fans.
But this is exactly what the NFL
right.
could have hoped for. You have important
right.
games. I
That's
think this
right.
is one of the ones. Based on our talk last week about the Giants game,
yeah.
was one of the SPFW things today, and I think it's perfect for what they wanted because now they have people interested in games, even not out, you know, outside of the markets. You know, theoretically, I know that you don't think there would be a lot of people interested if the Patriots were 15-0, but I think there would be a lot of people interested in watching that game.
Okay, I'll just let that go.
That's perfect for the NFL.
I also read that Fox is very upset this year and complaining that they only have 8 of the Cowboys games on Fox, even though, you know, Fox is the NFC.
Because of various primetime games and NFL Network games.
Playing AFC teams. And,
oh, yeah. God.
They only have
they always play AFC teams.
That sounds like
same.
But Patriots fans running Fox and bitching about something.
Only 8 Cowboys games on Fox.
Eight.
See, that's – I understand what that – you know, it's kind of like
eight.
One of the games that would be at the Giants. What was the Washington game and the Philadelphia game would be an opportunity for Fox to get the Patriots that they lose one of them.
Right.
So I'd imagine that's another example that they're not – you know what I'm saying?
Oh, and I heard –
because the Patriots play that game
on NBC. The Patriots game against Philly will not be moved.
Yeah, and we got screwed by an absolute collapse by Washington.
Right.
In the last 3 minutes. They should have won the game by 4 touchdowns.
But I have to think, though, Paul, if they had moved that Philly game, the Jets would have gone tonight, and I don't want that.
But that might have been, but this would have been definitely, we know they're moving a game. And who knows what happens in December.
Right.
I would have taken
that.
I would have taken my chances.
That's true.
Bird in the hand.
Bird in the hand, exactly. Louis, again, says PFW sucks. He says, sorry for the subject, but it's the fastest way to get in the air. You got it. Anytime you tell us we suck, I'll read your email.
That is true.
I watched the total.
Or send lunch.
I watched a total of 2 snaps on Monday night. Do you know if it was the lowest rated game ever? And what's the meaning of
You got me by 2 snaps.
What's the meaning of the expression of Tom's boy, Chris Berman? Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Is he truly a Bills fan?
I think he is truly a Bills fan. Yeah. But you know what? Chris Berman's one of those guys. He kind of likes everybody.
Whatever town he's in, that's
right.
His fan.
Well,
he loves
the Patriots. Yeah. You know, when
Brady's feeling like Big Pappy.
So,
Big Pappy.
Does he still love the Patriots, even though they didn't ask him to do the kickoff gala this year? Maybe he's out.
Rich Eisen did it this year.
Yeah.
I heard who did a very good job.
I heard he did a very good job, too, much better than Boomer.
So I used to do a thing with Berman. I would do the PFW Awards every year, and I'd get up there, and we'd have a little give and take, and then I was asked not to do it anymore.
It was sort of like the Patriots' trip to China. Fred got involved, and then they were asked not to do it.
James Edwards writes in, wanted to hit you with something that occurred to me. If either the Packers or Cowboys finish the season 15-1, 14-2, or even 13-3,
Packers-Cowboys,
and Brett Favre or Tony Romo are still close to Brady in yardage, I can see it happening that one of those QBs will get a good number of MVP votes over Brady. I say this will be due to the hatred that has developed against the Patriots over the last few years and, of course, the backlash over Videogate. I don't think it will even matter if Brady does break the passing TDs record or if the Patriots go 16-0. Some will just claim they are voting for Favre or Romo because they achieve what they did with less offensive weapons than Brady or anything other excuse other than the fact that they don't want to give Brady his due.
I don't think that's accurate. I don't think there's venom for Tom Brady.
But see, that's
I don't think there's any venom for Tom Brady.
But see, that's where, though, you know, I understand where you're coming from, James, but if someone voted for Tony Romo or Brett Favre, I could see that because they were more valuable to their team.
Well,
Brady couldn't win in the past because he couldn't put up the numbers because he wasn't surrounded by enough talent.
He got screwed in the past.
But now he's surrounded by enough talent, and he's not going to win it.
I think if he didn't win this year, he would have gotten screwed for the first time, in my opinion. But
I think the only way he might lose is if people vote for Moss.
I think you could make an argument.
They split the vote.
I think you could make an argument for Favre because he's having a phenomenal season. And he has no running game to speak of and still putting up the numbers. And the team is 8-1 or whatever it is. I don't really
and it could
see
be his last year.
I don't see
a
Romo because
nod.
I think Romo is looked at as a good quarterback playing with a pretty good team.
Yeah.
But Brady's numbers are so out of this world eye popping. If he doesn't win it this year, I mean, unless something, I mean, there's 7 more games to go. A lot can happen. You know, I know it sounds preposterous to even suggest, but if Brady finishes the year with like 4 touchdowns and 11 picks in the last 7 games, he might not win the MVP if they go 16-0.
Mm-hmm. Jason from Chiba writes in, you cork-soaking bitches love me because
Chiba.
You know that I can rock.
Chiba
he's got some mid-season superlatives. He says,
PFW host, Andy Hart.
Best bad team, San Diego, given even a high school coach is a contender. Worst good team, I'm still waiting for Green Bay's glass jaw to get broken. I'd be losing a lot of money if I were a betting man.
I can see me. I was thinking about this morning. I could see me stubbornly picking against the Packers all throughout the playoffs. I still don't think they're any good. I watched them on Sunday. They have a decent defense, but I still don't think the team is all that good.
If you stick with it all the way and pick against the Packers, pick the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, you'll have a good chance of being right that day.
Yeah, but I'll be wrong if they if they even
You'll have to bet a lot on Super Bowl to make up for it.
Even if they
would that be a popular Super Bowl? Packers-Patriots?
I think the Dallas one.
Oh, well, that's the
one. And
the
one. I think Dallas is pretty good.
They would put up a fight.
I think Dallas would put up a fight.
Absolutely.
They would put up a fight.
Best scandal.
That's what it's come to, put up a fight.
Hey, best scandal. It is what it is. Best scandal. Don Shula having an opinion that doesn't call the Pats cheaters and doesn't consider the possibility of us losing a game and still making waves in New England. Best coach's comment. Yeah, I was at the game.
Yeah, I was at the game.
Just too bad I couldn't see Sal's face. Best along for the ride coach. Wade's in the last car of the kiddie roller coaster. Worst coaching retread. I even like the Cowboys of the 90s, but North Turner, didn't anyone notice how bad he is?
Biggest. Evidently not.
The players in the San Diego locker room have noticed how bad he is, and Ted Cottrell, too.
Biggest Bill Walsher. Fred for admitting that he'd have to root for an Arena League team if the Kraft family owned him. Biggest drop off, steroid-less Merriman. Wade can't have been worth that much. Best caller. Craig for having an IQ 100 points higher than Tom, but still can't figure out when he's about to get blown up. Biggest whiner, Lane Kiffin. Dude, we all know you work for a douche canoe and that players come to your city to dog it. You don't have to keep reminding us.
What is that?
I don't know. What's that expression mean?
A douche canoe?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a
and
new one.
What is?
Well, you just read it like you knew, like, you know, manna from heaven or something.
Well, I just read well. I don't know.
By the way, did his little theory work this weekend? Did they hold whatchamacallit in check?
Hester, yeah.
Apparently that was the secret all along. Kick right at him. Go after him.
And finally, best PF moment, Fred changing his opinion four times in 45 seconds and then getting angry when Paul calls him a liar. All right.
Who was that from?
Chiba.
Chiba, well done. It's not really his
very
name,
well done.
But Jason and Chiba. Chiba, China. No, Chiba, Japan.
Okay.
Once again, who are you today?
What?
You just like... You're all over the place.
I'm trying to fill the dead air that happens when Fred Kirsch hosts.
What, you can't keep talking?
I am, and Paul yells at me for, who are you today? You can't shut up. Blah, 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 blah.
Why do you keep saying that I'm yelling at you? I'm being amused by you.
Oh, okay.
Very much so.
I can be amusing.
Well, today you can be, and you don't even have your little laughing boy hyena here with you.
It's funny. Yesterday I had no energy. Yesterday was the worst day I've felt in forever. I don't know why.
Kind of a weird day. We never turned the lights on. It was Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, actually,
what was it like up there? You know, as Matt Smith down at Kraft Sports says, could you take an archery practice yesterday?
A lot of people
and not
were.
Hit anybody.
There was a decent turnout. There were more people here than on the highway with me coming here because I was at the highway and there was nobody.
Yeah,
including Paul. Paul wasn't on the highway either.
No, I wasn't. I was nowhere near the highway. I didn't have to get on the highway to go to the dentist. You're right.
Plus, you didn't go to the dentist.
Sure, I did.
Sure, you did.
I also took Will to gymnastics class in the morning.
Rhymes with hay.
Call my son out. You can call me anything you want.
I'm calling out the parent who signed him up for gymnastics.
Not in a gay
I don't know
way,
if that's you or if that's your wife.
You know it wasn't me.
Is it gymnastics or gymboree?
It's
does he wear
like
tights?
The same thing. No. No.
Okay, good.
Oh, speaking of that, I watched that movie Blades of Glory over the
funny?
Weekend. Pretty funny. Yeah.
I gotta tell you, I didn't see it, so I probably shouldn't comment. But even the preview of it.
It didn't look all that
doesn't
funny.
Make me want to watch it.
But you know what was funniest thing to me is it's not far off from reality. I mean, those people are crazy, those ice figure skating people.
You're big into the figure skating industry?
No, I'm not. I think it's insane.
Individual sports breed that, I think.
It's insane. Jay says, great show, interesting interview with Belichick on The Fan. He gave his usual coach speak for quite a few answers, but there was an interesting moment. The host, Joe Benigno, asked him if he could please keep the Jets score under 80, and he didn't say a word. His response, though silent, spoke volumes.
Speaking of Bill.
Making no promises, in other words.
Did you see yesterday's press conference, either of you?
I did not, but I saw it was very short.
And half the questions were mine, and I was struggling to come up with them.
Oh, those were your questions?
It was terrible, and they were terrible.
Was there a full house there?
I think I said that, Andy.
Pretty good sized
crowd. Why wasn't anybody
no one had
any
anything
questions?
To ask? Awkward silence. He's just staring into the crowd. You know that smirk. He looks left. He looks right. No one's asking anything.
What are you looking for?
Stacy, time to pull the plug on this one. That look.
Tom even got his Navy questions in. asking about if he had seen the Navy score, and Bill said it looked like a basketball game.
I saw that question. I was like, who is asking about this?
And then a couple more about Navy.
Lo and behold, it was us buffoons.
What was it, PFW and Friends yesterday?
Well, it was a big crowd, but between Tom and I, that was probably seven of the 10 questions.
I think there was
questions.
Only like 14 questions in the press conference.
So we were
TFW
about half
and
of them.
Friends.
Because I asked a couple about tackling. Then I gave him a lob ball to see if he had to kick any players out for the bye week, if there are any players. No, I don't think we had to push any out the door. They spread pretty quickly or something.
Wesley Britt said he had to be told to go home. So?
I don't know what that means.
When did you talk to Wesley Britt?
It was in the paper today.
Oh.
Who knew?
I read the paper.
Yeah, there was the injured players that we were talking about last week.
Right.
That all, you know, Seymour, Harrison, those guys.
You know, all the
Troy
ones
Brown.
That the team paper did a photo shoot with.
No. Fred, that's another thing that needs to be addressed.
What's that?
Access.
You're not getting any?
No. Not by comparison to the other official newspaper.
What, are you talking about Stan Grossfield?
Yeah.
Well, he asked for like four other things that got turned down before he got that. Yeah. But we've never asked to do that, though.
Every time we ask for anything, we get turned down.
You got to just keep asking. You know.
All right, let's read an email.
Dana in the UK, seeing as there isn't much Patriots news to report, all we can do is laugh at Manning. But for fun, if you could kill three past or present NFL personalities, who would they be? And also,
Sal Palantonio.
If you could have three for a dinner party, who would they be again?
The Booze? They're saying Drew. They love me everywhere I go.
Personalities, is that media members or is that NFL players?
Maybe it could be
players,
media.
Coaches,
executives. Yeah.
Who would I kill?
I think.
Can I kill Sal Palantonio?
Tannenbaum is one. Polian is two for me.
Polian would be on my list.
Yeah.
Oh, he's kind of entertaining. I might want to have dinner with him.
No.
And maybe.
That guy's a buffoon.
Joey Porter.
Where's the bread?
Maybe.
UTEC butter!
Joey Porter, maybe. Somebody like that, you know.
Joey Porter, Fred. That's a good one.
I don't want
to
kill anybody.
Then to have to my house to have dinner with.
He's like a whole different person over there today.
Larry Izzo, because then afterwards we could sit and watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's a big Curb Your Enthusiasm fan.
Rhymes with hey.
I know Paul, Drew would come over, right?
I'm not. Yeah.
Oh, you're off, Drew?
Matt Stevens.
I love Drew, but I'm not really all that interested in having lunch with anybody.
Matt Stevens, because it'll be a couple.
You can't even play the game, Paul. You have to be such a wet blanket. You can't even play along.
I would say Drew, Rodney, and Richardson.
Okay, all Patriots.
Well, those are the only guys I know.
What about John Elway? See, I'd like to have John Elway over.
Yeah, 100 pounds of teeth. It would just distract me while I'm trying to eat.
Oh.
So plus, he'd say he didn't want to have dinner at Paul's house. He'd ask to go to a different house.
Growing up, you didn't have like guys that now you would like to have over.
Oh, Bo Jackson for me. Like,
there you go.
Oh, okay. No question.
See, there you go.
Okay, then you know if you want to go back to like those guys.
Vinny Ferragamo.
I've actually not gone to dinner with him, but I was part of a family reunion that he was at.
Okay.
Good story.
I like stories.
I like stories.
Bo would be mine.
Bo
it would
Jackson.
Be a one-on-one candlelight dinner with me and Bo.
Well, we didn't have to go there.
I love Bo. I've never hidden that fact. Greatest athlete that ever lived.
Not in a gay way, of course.
No, I'm halfway in a gay way.
But you know it's physically impossible for you to have his children.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know, Fred.
He's
I don't
not
really
attractive
have,
anymore.
Do you
anyways,
have guys? I mean,
now.
Elway would be
Elway,
one.
Elway, Muhammad Ali, but he's not football.
Well, Muhammad Ali. Yeah.
I mean, not now. I mean, when he could.
You know what I thought was really
when, I, when I wouldn't have to feed him.
In terms of that, you know.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. That's
good. Now we
get
the emails from the Parkinson's community.
Can you please stop talking?
The Parkinson's community. Well, the other day, at least you said it right.
Say, you had
you
something
the
else.
Other day?
MS.
Yeah.
Might as well just, they're all the same.
Tom would be so pissed right now.
Oh, yeah. He's a wet blanket.
I think, thank you, Andy, for finally recognizing that it's not me.
Well, you're a wet blanket.
No, I like this.
You're both wet blankets.
No. That's not true.
Take everything way too seriously.
What about, like, Fred Lynn?
I loved Fred Lynn,
Fred
Jim
Lynn.
Rice.
Oh, yeah. Phil Plantier. I loved him.
I just was never really wowed by that kind of stuff.
Ted
but
Williams?
You know what I thought was cool when Andy, this year, when we played the Cleveland Browns, as he was going up to the press box, you were
Jim
in the
Brown.
Elevator with Jim Brown. That, to me, is cool.
What, did I ever tell you about my mother-in-law dated Jim Brown?
Yes, you did. Yeah. Right after I saw Jim Brown in the press box and said, I just saw Jim Brown, you said, did I ever tell you about my mother-in-law?
Well, I went up to him and I said, you know, do you remember Joan Anderson? And he was like, yeah, but I don't think he was telling the truth. Because Jim Brown's been with a lot of women.
Right. And it was a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
So
back in their college days.
Right.
Syracuse.
Still a good get for her.
Yeah.
He was, what, the greatest lacrosse player to ever play, right?
Sure.
But I think that was, I mean, in terms of those kind of things that you look back on, the opportunities that you get being in our spot, that's pretty cool. I mean, share an elevator with Jim Brown, one of the maybe one of the five best football players of all time.
That's right. It's a thrill.
Not quite as up there as it would be if it was Bo Jackson.
I remember very early in my Herald.
A bigger elevator because he's so fat now.
He is a little pudgy.
Very early in my Herald career, Fred, I answered the phone, and it was a message for Joe Fitzgerald. Yeah, can you just tell him Bob Uhr called? And I remember going home and like telling my father.
I got a Bobby Uhr
today.
Too,
I got a Bobby Uhr story right too. Now. I hung out with Bobby Uhr at New England Cable News when I was an intern before he went on for like a half hour, just shooting the pool.
Don't make fun of us, Gary. I know you were getting ready.
Gary's too cool to talk about sports idols.
As far as good guys go, Bobby Orr is a genuine good guy.
He seemed a little intimidating to me.
Really?
Well, he started talking about that whole his agent screwing him.
Oh, yeah.
He got a little worked up, and I got a little uncomfortable.
But he is
Alan
like
Eagleson really.
He's one of those guys that doesn't realize how great he is.
Right.
You know, he'll just come, you know, he's completely approachable, you know, doesn't put anyone off. He's a great, great guy. Clint from Omaha, I've always argued with my friends that Brady was just as good, if not better, than Manning. They always argued the stat argument with me, while I always said Brady didn't have the talent around him that Manning does. This season has been a good year for my argument. While I don't think Manning is as bad as he played at Sunday, it shows that some of the stats he put up weren't solely his brilliance, but a lot of it involved the talent around him. One might ask if Manning had played with the guys Brady has, would he still be in the debate for the best QB of his era? I still think he is great. If it was refreshing, though, to see the two plays with opposite talent levels than they had in previous years.
Yeah, I think this is a very good year for your argument, without question.
I also think that if it stays just as it is, and Moorhead and these guys, Crefonso Thorpe,
he'll make these
I
guys
think you'll
good.
See Crefonso Thorpe making plays, and you'll be saying, well, he had a couple weeks to work with him, and now he's hitting him in stride again.
Right, because I look around the league, and there's some guys that he, you know, guys like Marcus Pollard, and there's been guys that he's made pretty good players that have gone on, and they've just
the
been
issue the other day was
average
him
players.
Not knowing where they were. He was throwing to a spot that they weren't going to.
Right.
That's a problem. That's the problem you have when guys aren't on the same page.
And you get like 4, 5, 6 weeks under your belt. If he had the same group of characters, I think he would be right back to the regular pace.
All of a sudden, Crefonso Thorpe would be Jabbar Gaffney.
Who, by the way, to me, that guy looked a lot better than Aaron Moorhead ever was.
Moorhead.
Jesus. Moorhead.
Utecht.
Ooh.
That was, I'm telling you, it was one of the most entertaining aspect to that game. It was a pretty good game now.
And we'll never get that again.
That guy.
We're never going to get it again because I got to think at the new stadium with that huge place, they'll have some
place. Well, the last time we played the Colts here, he did not sit in the press box.
Didn't he sit in the first box to the left of the press box
yeah.
and they put black stuff all over
right.
there so we couldn't see him?
Right. But up until then, he always did play in the press
He played in the press box.
He sat in the press box.
He performs.
By the way, my guy had a good night Friday night, Andy says. Big Baby.
Oh, Big Baby had
oh,
it. You
he,
see that? Came
yeah,
in
played.
In like the second quarter.
He
had
played, yeah.
7 rebounds and 6 points in like a quick stretch.
Did you also see, Fred, that he has stopped doing his diary?
Yes, I heard about that. Yeah,
I thought that was funny.
That's good, good. Let's good, see. Good. Gary says he's from Syracuse. Do you think the crowd at Buffalo is going to be electric, like they say, because the game has moved to 8:30? The last couple of times I've gone to this game at Buffalo, there has been more Patriot fans than Bills fans.
Nah,
I don't know.
That's not true.
No, I mean, that's an exaggeration.
I don't think
it'll be drunk.
Yeah.
That's a tough crowd.
It
and
is
they
a tough crowd.
They have all day to have fun drinking.
That's a tough crowd. Yeah.
We are going to get some creative gestures thrown our way when those buses pull in
they,
at 5
literally,
in the afternoon.
They literally open up the parking lot a day before. They allow the RVs and campers
yep.
to come in.
I can attest to that because I
they
had
have
an RV in there.
They have
before.
These huge barrels with fires in them, and people just stand around. It's like, you
that
know,
will be a drunk crowd, a rowdy crowd.
I would think, I mean.
Now, their only hope is to keep the crowd entertained.
What's helped, the Patriots and their fans the last couple of times, and, you know, definitely the last two times, 05 and 06, Patriots have just walloped Buffalo in Buffalo right from the get-go. If that happens again, you're going to look like a totally pro-Patriot crowd again.
Right.
You take the crowd out early. That's what Dallas couldn't do in that Monday night game several weeks ago. They stumbled all over the place. And let Buffalo feel good about itself. If that happens, then it could be a long night.
Question about McNabb. Do you think the Eagles are dumb enough to trade him to a rival team in the NFC? Some teams I see being interested other than the ones they are all talking about, the Bears and the Vikings, are the Jets, Dolphins, Ravens, Chiefs, and maybe the Falcons and 49ers, even though in the NFC they are pretty bad teams. What do you think? Do you think
I think they would trade him to the best, the team that gives them the best package of
they don't care
in return. Right. Why would you? If you're afraid the guy's going to come back and haunt you, why wouldn't you keep him?
Right. If you think he's good enough to be good, then you keep him. If
same
you don't,
thing.
You trade Drew Bledsoe to the Bills.
It's the same thing Bill did with Drew.
You if know he really, stinks. You don't care.
If he really thought that he had second thoughts about trading him, he shouldn't trade him. So, in other words, you trade him to whoever gives you the most in return.
All right. On the
Minnesota.
Phone right now is Craig. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Did you guys get the emails I sent you this morning?
I read the story, the Bill Simmons story. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I read. That's a good story. I liked it.
Yeah, it was funny, too.
I don't know what the story was.
You know, about the Colts game and all
I
the calls. It was very good.
I don't read Bill Simmons, unless it's about the NBA.
Now, why is this?
Because I think he's very good about the NBA. I don't really care what he has to say about anything else.
Really?
Yes.
Anything else?
Yeah, I know him very well, Fred. I worked with him for 5 years.
And so you just don't like him?
It's no, like he's not right, guy.
It's like why I don't listen to Paul on the radio.
Exactly.
I know his opinions aren't worth crap.
Exactly. He's okay. A good guy. There's nothing wrong with him. I don't have anything against him personally.
He jealous?
Well, yeah, but that's the same of everybody. Everybody has passed me by, Andy. Of course I'm jealous.
Well, I went ahead and emailed a copy of it to Belichick. I thought he might get a kick out of it.
You have his email address?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, people's Asante. Phone numbers, email addresses.
Has he ever emailed you back?
Did you get it from Asante?
No, I didn't get it from Asante, and he hasn't emailed me back, no. He's too busy.
Yeah.
Yep.
By the way, I sent you guys a directory of Buffalo dining.
Okay.
And a couple of recommendations, very, very highly recommended.
Oh, thank you.
Great. Have you
Thanks,
been there
Craig.
Yourself?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I haven't. I've never been to Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
But you guys started talking about it, and I said, well, I'll try to save the boys some time here.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Craig.
How's the moving?
Are you welcome?
How's the moving process going?
Man, I'll tell you what. You accumulate so much crap in a period of 12 years staying in one place.
This is true.
My back is about to give out.
You doing it all yourself, or you're hiring anyone to help you?
No, the movers are coming to pick all the stuff up. I'm just trying to box everything up.
Wow. All right.
I got a lot of gear, you know.
Okay, so when you move, are you going to have the same phone number, or do you need to call Asante and give him your new number?
No, it's going to be the same phone number. I use my cell phone as my home phone.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, Craig, thanks for calling in.
All right, fellas.
You made it.
Care.
Thanks, Craig.
All right, that's Craig calling in.
That was nice of him to give us a directory of restaurants in Buffalo.
Yeah.
We could just go to Canada.
Is that where you're going?
Michael, our Colts fan, writes in. He says, the reason Dungy got cued at the end of this game Sunday night was he was scared of his special teams. When I first saw what they were doing, I said, you got to be kidding. Just kick the field goal. They can't score on the defense anyway. But these guys will not stay in their lanes. I would say replace them, but it's hard to find 11 guys. P.S., there is no gap between Dungy and Belichick. The reason he turned around the Bucs, Bill couldn't win in Cleveland.
Well,
I disagree.
I think Belichick has proven to be a much better coach than anybody else in the league.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, not law.
But we have examples to go on
of
preparation and different things. He's done a great job. There's guys that have done good jobs. When you look at the minutiae, the preparation, the detail, all of that, I think Bill is a step ahead.
But it's a thing that's a totally subjective thing because you can't quantify it. I mean, you can, you know, look at what Dungy did. He built two programs with, you know, relatively equal success. And Belichick only did it once. But I think that there are some extenuating circumstances in Cleveland, number one. And number two, I think he's achieved a higher level of success in New England than Dungy did in either of his spots. So,
and they both have benefited from
being handed I don't want to make it sound like I'm being, you know, unobjective. I think a lot of Tony Dungy. I think he's a very, very good coach. And I heard someone call him maybe the most respected coach in the league, and that might be true. I think he's a very, very good football coach. I just think Belichick is the best at what he does, and there's no one that's really that close.
Stripper says his research shows that no team has gone undefeated against the spread. And he probably has some pretty good research.
Yes.
I would.
He knows how to use a computer.
Frank says it's Branson, Missouri, not Branford. And by the way, what is the story on Troy Brown? I read the Globe article about his return to practice, but do you have any inside info about him returning? And prediction, Green Bay versus New England in Super Bowl. New England cruising to victory. Karma payback for the 96 loss.
I don't know any inside information on Troy Brown. Do you, Fred?
I don't.
You're usually the guy to go to for inside stuff.
You know, I haven't gone for any information on that, but maybe I will. But, I mean, it's really a numbers game right now. I mean,
it's the way I look at it. I don't see any reason to have, you know, seven receivers on the roster, even if you're going to count Kelly Washington as non-receiver, as special teams guy. I don't, you know.
Bill almost implied yesterday that, remember we were talking about how he had phrased limited and we didn't know what he meant by.
Yep.
He was asked yesterday the decision to activate Troy. Was it about Troy finally reaching health or was it about the window closing? And the wording made you feel like it was more about they had to make a decision than he was truly ready to start practicing. So I'm not sure he's going to be a quick one because it sounds like he might need a little more time to get to
full health. So this is going to week 12 then. He's going all the way.
It would seem that way. Now, every other time I've thought something about PUP, it hasn't worked out. So it means he'll start and play this week.
Well, they waited as long as they could for the two Jacksons. And
there's no reason to bring him back earlier.
Well, unless they have to.
Unless somebody
gets
hurt.
Couple injuries right. before that.
Right. Wes Welker goes down.
Yeah. So you're fully stocked. Play it out. And maybe, you know, an injury will make the decision for you.
Play on, playa.
Sam from Denmark says, is North Turner one of the worst coaches in the history of all sports?
Yes.
The guy finds a way to lose week in and week out. A 23-0 lead against a depleted Colts apparently wasn't nearly enough to overcome his stupidity. It took a couple more Manning interceptions and two Vinatieri missed field goals for a talented Chargers team to avoid the loss. Also, if Alex Smith and the 49ers continue to suck, which trade would you prefer? A, shop for the top five pick to the Cowboys for their two first-round picks, or B, give it back to the 49ers for Patrick Willis in the first-round pick they got from the Colts?
That one.
Well, I would prefer that one, but that can't happen because the Niners couldn't. I mean, he was number 11 pick, right?
Right.
Patrick Willis, they wouldn't be able to take that cap hit. He's got to have guaranteed money on the table, right?
I would imagine.
I think. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what Patrick Willis's contract is. I'm just guessing as the 11th pick, that's going to be a hard guy to trade in year one.
I'd take his deal.
But yes, I would take that. That's the skill of the set of. Talent that you're getting back, I like that one better than the two first rounders.
All right,
he's had a pretty good year from all.
Hit 20 tackles a week ago
from all accounts.
Yeah, Patrick
two
Willis.
Weeks ago.
Yeah,
well, very we told active. You he was the real deal.
See,
does Tommy Bantakane still play?
Yeah, he started last night.
He did.
Yeah.
What number does he wear? I tried to.
I didn't watch the game, but when I was down doing the TV stuff with the boys, they were saying that Bantakane was starting. So,
I tried to look for Brian Lowe
and the boys.
We
were just talking about Patrick Willis, and that's an that's one of those things that, you know, me and Andy were talking about with linebackers, and maybe he was a guy that Bill really liked, you know, and maybe if he had been available at like 24 or whatever, Bill would have said, yeah, he's a guy that fits our system and we like him or not, you know, a lot, which is why that if you're in the top 6, 7, or maybe even better now the way San Francisco's going, maybe you have the pick of the litter and you take the best linebacker for you.
Right.
Because no one else will take him before you, rather than trade at all. What do you think of that, Fred? Do you think they're definitely going to trade?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. That's the kind of analysis we give you here at PFW in Progress. 779-0850.
Who does? I mean, that's you never know what the Patriots are going to do.
No. I was just asking your opinion. If you think
what about value?
I think a lot of people think that it's a foregone conclusion that they won't make this pick because of value, like Andy said.
Well, that's what I'm questioning, money-wise.
Plus, they've got some big money they need to spend, and they may not be able to, you know, technically they can, but they may not want to pay, you know, top five money to anyone.
Well, that's why I don't think there's any chance.
To a middle and the value, linebacker or, you know, depends.
And I was reading somewhere where they really should, you know, redo that trade chart in the draft because the value of the top 10 – it really is not as high as it used to be, and they should redo that trade equivalent, the points
because
chart.
Because the money.
Yeah.
I agree with I think there's some truth to that, and I think that they also need to They need to do something, I think, about the salary structure itself. I think they need to do something about this whole slotted system that they have, because I think there's too much money being guaranteed guys that have not played it down.
Yeah,
in a league, you know, it's one thing to do that in the other leagues where they do have guaranteed money. In a league with no guaranteed money, it makes no sense that the rookies who haven't played yet get guaranteed money.
Right, and a lot of it.
Yes.
A ridiculous amount.
Yes.
And I was thinking about this for some reason lately, too, and it's like they need to set something up where if you're a top 10 pick or whatever, the guys that get all the money, you can become a free, you know, an NBA type thing. You can opt out after 2 years or something. You're not going to get as much money up front, but if you prove you can at all show a glimmer of hope of playing, then you'll get your money. You just can't.
The NBA
just
thing,
can't hand it to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't hand a guy $60 million.
I mean, do you realize Jamarcus Russell is guaranteed the same as Tom Brady?
Mm, that's gross. There's something wrong with that system.
Yep. Jack wants to pipe in with who he'd like to kill and who he'd like to bring to dinner. Kill, Peyton Manning, Jeff Fisher, Albert Haynesworth. Dinner, Rodney Harrison, Matt Light, and Curtis Martin.
I like all the dinners. I have nothing against Jeff Fisher or Peyton Manning.
Well, he didn't ask you what you like.
No, I'm just saying. I'm agreeing with him. Albert Haynesworth, I think, is a good.
All right.
Well, let's put it this way.
Is he a kill or a dinner?
If you're going to kill Albert Haynesworth, you better make sure you do it.
That's right. All right, let's take a
break.
Don't screw
it
up. Back.
And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because he's wearing a backpack.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers, mild
and hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress, a little classic Boston. This is the time of Boston sports, isn't it?
Yes.
Somebody said that since October something or another, Boston teams are 15-0, which is pretty amazing.
I'm going to guess that
didn't include the Eagles.
Yes, or the Bruins.
The Bruins.
I mean, maybe the Celtics, Revs, and Patriots might be 15-0.
And Red Sox. Right.
And Red Sox.
Oh, okay.
Because it includes the World Series
okay.
and all that. Yeah.
But, yeah, the Bruins were the ones. Maybe they don't include them in the major sports.
They don't. They're the number
major.
Five team
Well, then
now.
They're not counting the Revs then, too, right?
Let's see. Dave.
I said nothing about attendance.
Jesus. Dave from Cambridge says, a couple questions. Are the Pats undefeated on the new turf in Gillette? They put that turf down following that horrible Jets loss, and I don't think they've lost at home since.
That is correct.
That is true.
Did you hear that lame joke going around that they got to change the turf again at Gillette because there's too much moss in the end zone?
That's bad. That's Fred. That's Fred.
Actually,
like
that reminds
bad.
Me.
That is Fred Kurtz bad.
That reminds me. Did you hear about Moss after the game in the Colts game? Did you hear what he did?
No.
He was coming off the field and he found that cell phone.
Yes.
On the field.
I did not hear this.
Yeah, and
I'm dead serious. I'm not trying to make a
no.
Deal.
He ended up.
Is this another one of Fred?
No.
Is this a Kurtzism?
He found the cell phone. He ended up returning it. It was the head referee's phone. And they said, how did you know it was his? He goes, well, there were 11 missed calls on it.
Oh, my God.
He told it after
funny.
The game.
Look at
how excited. I got it right, too. I got through it.
Look at how excited he is. Like I thought you were going to say something like, I hit speed dial, and it was like right into, you know, Bill Polian.
And that wouldn't have been funny.
Well, neither was that.
Oh, that was a good joke. No, that was good.
You actually got it all out unscathed, but it still wasn't funny.
Freddie, trivia question.
Yeah.
Ready, go.
When I was 14.
No. Oh. Name the four ligaments in the knee.
Anterior.
Say the whole name.
Collateral.
Please. I'm going to need the whole name of all ligaments. I'm like.
ACL, MCL, ACL, MCL.
You're repeating already?
Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. What?
LCL.
PCL. LCL.
Now can you tell me what they are?
Lateral collateral ligament.
Yes.
Anterior collateral ligament.
No.
No?
Cruciate.
I was going to say, not anterior cruciate ligament?
Cruciate ligament.
So
but it's lateral anterior. Collateral.
Right.
I thought he said anterior.
Anterior. It's anterior.
Yeah.
ACL. Anterior cruciate ligament.
I misheard you. I thought you said
and
anterior collateral.
I did say collateral. Yeah.
Holy
I misspoke.
Crap. What's the others?
I forget. The M one is...
Medial.
Medial. Cruciate ligament. And then the last
collateral.
One
collateral.
What's this one smart fellow, two smart
I can't talk.
I don't know. What's the fourth one?
Which one's
posterior?
Have you? Posterior.
Posterior.
Cruciate. The two ligament. C's in the middle are cruciate, the ACL and the MCL.
Except
I mean,
for the collateral.
PCL. And then the outside ones are the medial.
Now,
and
why
the
are you asking me this?
Because people, the LCL is the Adrian Peterson issue, and... That's sort of the forgotten one. It's ACL and MCL are the common one. You hear about those all the time.
Right.
PCL, Rodney Harrison had a few other. LCL is sort of the forgotten one. And
Robert Edwards had all of them
right.
Except for, I believe, the L.
Oh, I thought he had all four.
But generally when you, and I bet you Deidre would know more about this, but I've heard a lot of physical therapists talk about if you blow out three of them, you really blow out all of them.
Right. I just find it interesting because I wonder how many journalists – write them, you know, those are pretty common things you're writing about, ACLs, MCLs.
But they really don't know.
Just wondering if they know what they mean, what ones they
know.
I
know what the actual words are, but I don't really know what
I only know because, experience. But
that's how he ended his career, you know. Right? He could have been
a
5'6 fullback at Tufts, too.
That's right.
He didn't lose a step.
That's right.
Instead of doing step slide.
He could be playing in the Shamrock League right now.
The Shamrock League.
You know?
Marlboro?
The ECL? Eastern Conference football or
oh,
something?
Oh, I went to one of the Middleborough EFL. Cobras I went to see a game.
Yeah. EFL.
Because somebody told me, oh, you should go. You should try and play. And I was like...
I had a couple friends.
No bleeping way.
I had a couple friends that played on the Shamrocks, the Marble Shamrocks. They were the champs for a number of years. That's a rough league.
It's real football, and you know you got to figure it's a little
rough
around the edges.
There's no like trainers.
It's a bunch of college guys that used to play in college. In fact, one of the quarterbacks from Northeastern,
Ralph Barone,
Ray Barone.
That's Gary's boy.
Gary's your boys.
Dave from the Philippines. Dave from the Philippines writes in. I know it's really hard, but all Pats fans should root for the Jets to win a few more games, except when they play us. Also Miami, but that's sort of a lost cause. Those are two of the only four teams in front of San Francisco for the first pick in the draft. How great would it be if the Jets and Miami win just enough to give us the overall first pick next spring?
Be amazing.
I'd love to see Mangenius on ESPN on draft day watching the commissioner announce the best player in the going to the world champion Patriots. That would be sweet.
Fred, now I'm going to
speak.
That
would be amazing.
I'm going to speak for Fred here. I think that you would rather pick third than pick first and have the Jets finish with any more wins than they have now. I think you would rather have the Jets go 1-15 and pick, say, third or fourth than have the Jets go 4-12 and the Patriots pick first.
Yeah, I mean, at this point.
So you're going to cut off your nose?
I think
he hates the Jets.
Well,
I
know, but
I
think we've made our point with the Jets.
I hate the Jets, too. They
I just think it would be kind of funny that, you know, the commissioner has to announce the first overall pick. He took away the Patriots' first pick.
It would be just as funny if it's the third overall pick.
But it's so symbolic if it's number
it's
one
great.
Overall.
It just shows that we were
Super
wrong.
Bowl
the
champ.
Patriots were wronged. Karma is
wrong.
On the Patriots' side. Karma is
I
on
almost
the
fell off
side.
The chair when I didn't really hear him put the ED at the
I
end.
I didn't either.
We were wrong. Good. hello, bitches, he says. Alex, can you tell me about those early 90s Bills? Were they really good, or did they happen to get hot on a weak AFC? How were their games against the Patriots?
They had some blowout wins over the Patriots in that area, but that was also a time when New England was really down. 91, 92.
Is that the Sam Yankovic era?
Yeah, they went 1-15, 6-10, and 2-14 from 90, 91, and 92. Those were really bad Patriots teams, and Buffalo killed us. But Buffalo was pretty good. I mean, the first three of those Super Bowl, the fourth one was a fluke. They were a wild card team. They were getting embarrassed at home by Houston. They had
that miracle comeback,
and they had no business going to the Super Bowl that year. But, you know, the first one, they were better than the Giants team that they lost to in the Super Bowl.
Depends who you ask.
Unless you ask, you know, the people that... Nah, never mind. Beyond that, I think that they lost a better team. I mean, they lost to Dallas and Washington. They were powerhouse teams in the NFC.
Right.
Freddie, a quick side note about running up the score. Have you noticed it's reached the high school level of late due to the... What is it? The
Dual
DCL?
County League.
Where they
a horrendous rule.
The old tiebreaker in a lot of conferences to go to the Super Bowl is the team that hasn't been there the furthest away from that date. It's been the longest since they went.
Yeah.
Go. They changed theirs this year so that it's first half point differential is the first tiebreaker. So, and it's only with three teams, right? Isn't that what they do?
A three-team tiebreaker.
It's the first tiebreaker.
If it's two teams, it's whoever won
so
the game.
So first half point differential.
So they're now, our teams, quote-unquote, running it up in the first half to try to increase their first half point.
Yeah, there's been like 20-0 leads with 3 minutes left in the half, and teams have onside kicked to try to get the ball back and score again, and it's leading to all kinds of stuff. But
in a side note, Bill Belichick was named commissioner of the DCL earlier this year.
Well, how about the even bigger story, the one Utah and Wyoming.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Utah wins the game, Fred, 43-0. And actually, I don't even know what the final score of the game was, but they were ahead 43-0 late in the second half and onside kicked. And the Wyoming coach was livid. Mm. Evidently, the reason, the quote-unquote reason, was because the Wyoming coach had sort of
guaranteed
a victory, you know, heading into the game. So the Utah guy wanted to win by as many as he could.
Wow.
43-0 is not a statement of...
It's ridiculous. What do you want me to tell you?
TG and NJ, which of the following is worse for the NFL? A, the Mike Vick dogfight scandal, Videogate, Audiogate, which is the Colts pumping and crowd noise, NFL Network not available to all TV viewers, Bill Polian on the competition committee, or poor officiating? Which is the worst for the NFL?
I would say poor officiating and the Michael Vick thing.
Okay.
The other stuff doesn't mean it.
Poor officiating, I would go with as the worst.
I would agree with Andy.
All especially right. as it somehow seems to be morphing past
what do you think, Fred?
Official stink into there's conspiracies going on. Yeah, I think as far as the league goes, I think officiating is the worst thing, no doubt about it.
Because the other stuff, I mean, you know, the Cameragate thing, we can all agree, that's not going to – I don't think that's going to have legs in terms of the league. Now, people might connect that with Belichick going forward, but I don't think
right.
people are going to say,
gonna hurt the
oh,
league.
In 10 years, oh, the NFL, that's that league where they cheat and they
right.
do anything they can to win.
Right.
You know, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right. But
Greg Easterbrook
right,
continues to write.
But bad officiating, you could say that right. for years and right. years and years.
Officiating and Bill Polian hurt the league. There's no doubt about it. I like the new commish a lot, but the league needs to stop wasting time and energy trying to promote the game internationally and fix the issues here at home. Gary has his detonator for the callers. Can we give one to Tom for when Paul, Fred, and Andy turn the show into the Pro Football Talk version of The View?
No.
Usually I don't mind and it's entertaining, but the whole bit about which is the best razor was worse than a call from Craig.
You're an idiot.
It's just proof that we can't please anybody. Never mind everybody.
Who
we
was
can't
that?
Please anybody.
I want to
no
know.
More reading that guy's
I want,
emails.
These people that say it's got to be football all the time, you know. Every show that you listen to, does it? You know, you just can't do that.
I have to admit, Fred, that I was, as I used my electric razor for the first time of the weekend yesterday.
Oh, I shaved for the first time this morning.
I was laughing about
ever?
It.
No, over the I last shaved last Thursday.
Where?
You didn't notice I had a little extra going on yesterday? I also had jeans on.
I would have had jeans on
I
yesterday.
Consider Monday holidays casual days.
Like I said, I would have thought you could have taken archery practice upstairs and not injured anybody.
No, there was enough people, but it was nice that the lights were out, you know.
Why is that nice?
Because it was,
can
it
you
was
see?
Not out. You know how there's half and half on? You can turn half of them on, and then that jerk comes in and turns the rest on?
Very annoying.
Well, yesterday, somebody got up and turned them back off, and they stayed that way the whole day. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Are you part
presumptuous
of that?
I'm probably
punk.
The person that's supposed to turn them back on, but I just don't. Because every time I do, somebody goes, hey!
Well, I just feel
what
like
are you
if,
responsible for? Why should you have to do
it? I don't know. I don't know.
He is the highest ranking official in that area.
Yeah.
I just don't see why it's his responsibility.
I just, the
I
way
really
I look
care.
At it is
whatever
like,
people want is fine
if,
with me.
If 30 people are fine with it being half on, half off, one little punk shouldn't walk in and think he's more important than the other 30.
Yeah. See, it doesn't affect me at all because I'm in the office, but.
I was going to say because you're not there, but anyway.
It would have been funny if you could have gotten it out, but I don't see why one kid should come in and determine what everybody else
wants.
Because
his
wants.
Dad probably
well, I think
owns a Fortune
probably,
500 company.
There's probably more to it as far as code, building codes. You got to have a certain amount of lumens going and all that stuff.
lumens.
Sure. All it would take is one person saying, oh, you know, it's hurting my eyes, and then now you're in trouble.
Who is the
what if it's hurting your eyes
because it's
too
your
bright?
Own crap?
What's that, Paul?
Who was that email from? The last
TG
one?
TG in NJ.
TG was the one ripping us for all this?
DB in NJ.
He must love this talk, then. We're talking lumens.
Well, too bad. Let's see.
DB
Matt
NJ.
From Quincy again. I'm guessing Bill Polian doesn't think the refs did such a great job this week. On the other hand, I'm sure Baghdad Bob Pereira will tell us it was flawless.
When is that segment? Did
I
miss it?
I think it's Wednesday nights.
Wednesday night. We need to make
that
sure
that is
we
a
watch
great
that.
Name for him, though. Baghdad Bob Pereira.
Perfect. They were saying it last week.
Yeah, I know.
The guy has never admitted, like, a real call, an actual call. Now, there might be times where something was, you know, the way something was interpreted, you know, may have been interpreted incorrectly. But they never say flat out that that was pass interference. They shouldn't have called it or, you know, this and that. It's terrible. Just admit that you make a mistake. It's not the end of the world.
Pete from Hoboken, New Jersey, thank you for providing out. Speaking of Hoboken, another great restaurant, Arthur's.
You know what they give you there?
They give you like
a wedge of lettuce. Fred loves it. I don't get it.
Pete, I'm wondering if you've ever been to Arthur's in Hoboken. I'm sure you have.
The Boken.
It's probably closed.
I've been to the Boken.
Fred
right
Kirsch's restaurants dropping like flies.
Thank you for providing hours of entertainment each week. I'm not sure I'd survive my daily commute into New York City without the PFW in Progress podcast. I work as a media research analyst.
Wow.
And I just wanted to add a few points to last week's discussion about Super Bowl ratings. And then he goes on.
Well, I thought we were going to get into what we could do to make this show better.
Right. Or just praise us for how good we are
right.
and we should have a bigger
Even
market.
Better. Even better.
You want to put us on the air in New York?
I thought you had us going places.
And, you know, he goes on to say a lot of things that dispel a lot of what we were saying and finally says,
so he ignores.
No, I agree that.
But you know what I like, though, about what we were saying? Well, we were all arguing different things, we being me, okay. Tom, and Andy,
well,
and you.
He's talking about what ratings mean, not if that.
We're really talking about ratings.
He says, I agree that an 18-0 Patriots Super Bowl would draw hundreds of thousands, if not millions, more viewers than the most recent Super Bowl, but I do not think that the 08 Super Bowl could match the 46% rating of the 96 Super Bowl, let alone the 49.1 rating of the 82 Super Bowl. The 49ers Bengals, the top-rated Super Bowl of all time and fourth-highest-rated TV program since 1961. So just a
percent of
say
audience
that
available.
Population really doesn't have much to do with the ratings.
That
and all
part
that.
We weren't
right.
talking about.
Right.
Yeah. So we met. We,
well,
we
were saying
up.
How the raw numbers go up because the population goes up.
Right. He's saying that that's not necessarily the case.
But the amount of viewers doesn't increase.
That's, but that's not how
we're not talking about ratings. We're
well, they
about
always
the amount
do.
Of viewers.
Right.
They get and the NFL does it both
email.
Ways: share and rating.
It's
or
households
whatever.
And all
yeah.
that kind of stuff.
And the numbers go up, but. Because they have, we get that book every year once you get to the playoffs, and it tells you what the most recent was and how they rank all the Super Bowls. And there's different, they use different categories, whether it's share of the audience or whatever, however that works, or total viewers. And the share, you know what I mean? The total viewers yeah. can go up, but the share could go down.
Right. Gary from Syracuse says, did you ever guys hear Polian pronounce the word Patriots?
Yep.
Patriots. Butchers it. Do you think he does it on purpose?
Fred does.
Oh, you don't think he does it on purpose?
I have no idea.
Oh, please.
Is he the only one that says it that way?
I mean, come on. Patriots is not, it's a word that's in our English language.
I agree.
And it's pronounced Patriots. It's not Patriots.
But there's other words in our English language that I hear pronounced different ways.
That's
but that,
scallops,
that's not one
scallops,
of them.
Tomato,
that's
tomato,
not one
potato,
of them. He's
potato.
He's the only person
elk,
that pronounces it
elk,
that way.
Ilk.
Right, but he's the only person that does it.
He goes right.
Elk.
I'm the only one who says elk.
You know what I'm saying? He
I thought it was an
purpose.
Elk in my front yard,
you
but might, it was just a buck.
Fred,
elk,
I didn't say you
I
were
like
wrong.
Say.
You could be right.
Talking to him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're on the radio. People can't see you pointing at me.
I'm sorry.
Let's see. Strippers wants to know, should Peterson sit out the rest of the year? The Vikes
yes.
suck. Some doctors disagree with Childress. It says it takes 6 weeks to heal. If you were Childress, would you bring him back after 3 weeks? Your job is on the hot seat.
If he plays again this year, I think that they all should be fired.
Including?
They're playing for nothing. What are they, 3-7? Something along that line. I mean, they're playing for nothing. They have this, you know, once in a lifetime kind of player. I think they're crazy if they put him back out there until he is 3 weeks removed from the last time anybody thought it was even in question whether or not he should play.
What if he wants to? Apparently he's got a half a million dollar or a quarter million dollar bonus.
And just give him the bonus. And just say, you know what, you had a great year, you would have gotten all that. We decided to err on the side of caution. And let's face it, they're going to need a new quarterback next year, right?
Hey.
They're not going to have any of the three quarterbacks they currently have next year, in my opinion. So
ruined my boy.
They need to go out and find somebody because Tavarius Jackson, Kelly Holcomb, or Brooks Bollinger, none of those guys is the answer. They need to make a deal for a Donovan McNabb if he's available. Somebody. Now you have Adrian Peterson. Who knows? As Tom says, you know, get a couple of pieces in place. You do the Lee Corso thing. You know, not so fast, my friend. Bang. All of a sudden, you're back in contention.
Did you hear that NFC. Comcast DVR effed me again?
Did they really?
Recorded game day because I want, you know, they were at Williamstown for the Williams Amherst biggest little game. Taped it, went
another,
out.
Another blowout, by the way. Huh?
Yeah. I taped it, went out, came back, play it, and watching it, fast forward and, you know, stopping at the parts about the NESCAC and the things I'm interested in. Gets to the end where they're hyping up the mascot. Get that little box that pops up. Delete or not delete? Because it must have gone a minute past whatever the scheduled
wow.
time was.
Comcast I actually.
DVR. Sucks.
I actually, on the Patriots game.
Are they a sponsor?
Yes.
Well, then tell them to fix their DVR because right now they're an embarrassment
but,
to a first-class organization like the
Patriots.
But
there is a way to do it.
You got to do it manually.
It's stupid. TiVo gets around it.
Yeah, but is that
I never hear people who have TiVo complaining about this
crap. I know, but they don't know when the – it's not like somebody's there like saying, oh, the thing's over. We got to change
it.
It's done by when the network says this show runs from 11 to 12.
Don't tell me why. I ask why not, well, or however that
if
goes.
If it's something that has any chance of running over, you can't do it automatically.
Yeah, it happened
to
me.
Fix it. They're on the right track because my understanding is they're working on an agreement with TiVo that TiVo is just going to take over their guide services, which is tremendous. And I'll be
yeah, it
that.
Happened to me with the Patriots game, the Patriots-Colts game, because I had that on DVR, and I was watching the end, and it went off well before the game
yeah.
ended. It was when Indy had the ball still winning 20-17. So I didn't get to see the end of that drive, the Patriots game-winning drive, and then the rest of the Colts drive after that. And the reason was because
it's on for 3 hours.
But, you know, which is stupid because it wasn't supposed to end until 4:15.
Right.
And evidently I missed the last 15 minutes of actual time.
Boo, so. Comcast. Boo, Motorola. Boo.
Doug in West Springfield, I continue to love the show and enjoy all of the discussion and arguing. A quick question. If you're the Bills, how do you come at the Patriots on both sides of the ball?
Oh, we were supposed to talk football?
I would say on one side you have your offense, and on the other side you have your defense.
That's excellent, Fred.
I say throw a wrinkle at him. You're anybody, on defense, throw the offense
anybody
out there.
Anybody think Marshawn Lynch is going to be able to play?
He will.
Sounds like he's going to try.
If he does, he's not going to be 100%.
Right. I don't think there's any prayer that he plays, in which case that eliminates any offensive ability for the Bills, because Anthony Thomas is right along the lines.
I'm not sure he's going to play. He's only got 8 carries all year.
Yeah, well.
Dwayne Wright is the guy who's – he's the only guy who's got like 20,
but he's the same,
25 carries.
But he's the same kind of style as Lynch. He's the big kid from Fresno State, right? The rookie?
Yeah.
He's a big, you know, power back. I think that feeds right into the, you know, the Patriots defense. The style of back that they generally
Lee Evans would be running goes all day long, and I'd be lofting it up and hoping.
And hope you can get 2 touchdowns and 2 pass interferences, and maybe you can score 20 points.
Defensively? I don't know what I'd be doing.
Defensively, you just got to get after Brady. I don't see any other defense.
But they haven't gotten after anybody all year. Their pass rush stinks.
I don't see how you do anything against the Patriots without putting pressure on Brady. And
but
it's,
they're
it's,
a team
it's
that
coming on Aaron Schoble and Chris Kelce.
In theory, they should be able
guys.
To, except they haven't done it all year. They're a team that you say they're like the Colts. They got a couple defensive ends who should be able to rush the passer and get some pressure with just a 4-man rush.
Schoble's not having a good year.
No, 2 sacks maybe. They have 9 sacks as a team.
But they're both against the Patriots?
Maybe. And Kelsey's got 2, I think.
I know Kelce had safety,
I
right?
mean,
last week.
Yeah. They've done nothing up front, and that's a problem. You know, they got some...
Jorge Posada agrees to 4-year deal with the Yankees.
Oh. $52 million. Any word on Mike Lowell yet?
Any word on Mike Lowell? No.
No?
He's gone.
We're
going to
go
get
a couple minutes over here because Gary says that John Rook is stuck in traffic. So
I didn't know they had traffic in the mother's basement.
Yeah. Right now I'm somewhere in Attleboro, and I kind of took a wrong turn.
Wow.
That was Rodney.
Right. Was it?
Yeah.
Right. Was it?
What's up, Paul Perillo?
But we have to get going soon also because we have to tape our show, which is on tonight at 11 o'clock at New England Cable News. If anyone's interested.
Please watch.
They're very exciting to watch.
We are. We have a good show. We have a good time with it. Russ Hochstein is one of our biggest fans, so you know if you want to feel like a Patriot for at least a half hour, watch the show because that's what all the players are doing.
Okay. Bob and Regina, Canada, says there's a glaring issue that I feel is not fully considered by NFL teams when hiring a head coach, which could be a prime reason why so many teams fail to realize their potential in a short 16-game season. With regards to a supposedly qualified head coach, I always hear the emphasis on the guru's mastery of X and O's. Why is there not more emphasis placed on a coach's performance, personality, or style regarding his in-game management, his judicious use of squandering of timeouts or challenges, his inability to shuffle in personnel efficiently and thus get his team penalized frequently for delay of game, illegal formation, or 12 men on the field, his timely or untimely use of two-point conversions, his temperament on the sideline in relation to bad calls by the officials, his chastising of players on the sideline, and his ability to call the right play at the appropriate time, such as Trent Edwards, the Bills' rookie quarterback, throwing on third down at Dallas' 11-yard line with about 7 minutes remaining in the game and having the pass intercepted and Geron eschewing a sure 3 points to make it a two-possession game. By the way, I can't think of one time that Belichick has cost the Pats a victory because of bad in-game coaching moves or personality flaws. Frankly, that impresses me more than his knowledge of X's and O's. So.
Is Eric Alexander playing count as an in-game move, or is that where does that fall under?
I think it's a little unfair, the whole thing, because without one, you don't get the other. I mean, if Bill Belichick doesn't have the ability to game plan and prepare and scheme and put X's and O's together, what difference does it make if he makes every tactical decision is right during the course of a game if all his players are in the wrong spot?
And
you
the
have
other
to
issue
have
is,
them both.
a lot of coaches are first-time coaches, yeah, so you have no idea how they make half those decisions that were just listed.
Yeah, I don't know if he was just talking about retread coaches. Maybe that's what he was talking about. So you already have a track record. But
right.
Again,
coordinators don't make all those decisions you just listed.
But you do have an opportunity as a coach to grow and learn from past. I mean, I don't think Bill is the same coach today that he was in Cleveland.
Right.
I think he's a much better coach.
Mm-hmm. On the phone is who? Clint? Chris, who bought us lunch before.
Today?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Chris, what's up? Thanks for lunch.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
I just want a quick comment before the question on my DVR. You guys are talking about how it cuts off games. You always have to record whatever's on afterward. And, in fact, for the Red Sox World Series games, I have to remember that it's MLB baseball, the local news, a rerun of Seinfeld,
right,
and like a rerun of Scrubs.
Right.
And I have to remember that's the game.
But isn't that kind of flawed? Shouldn't somehow it should know that the game's still on.
Well, the network would have to send out some type of signal to the device.
So do it. This is the technology we have these days. Do it.
Yeah, but the network's not in the business of caring about whether or not you record the game.
Don't they want me to see their product?
Yeah, they
because if I want to watch it and I can't be
I
there,
know, I understand.
I have no chance to watch it if it doesn't tape it.
They'd rather have you sit there.
Shouldn't
and watch
their advertisers who have their commercials in that last half hour want their commercials to be seen by me?
That's not part of this process, though. Obviously,
as far as the ratings, it is.
No. They want you to watch the game. Yes, I understand that.
For the ratings.
I understand that, but if you're DVRing something and that doesn't help them.
Not as much as the ratings.
Whoa! And they're now they're now doing ratings on DVRs.
I know they TiVo is, but they can't prove to the advertisers that Andy watched it now. You know what I'm saying?
How can they prove that he didn't watch it?
Well, ratings go by people sitting there watching it, not taping it. So
I understand.
But why
that,
do
but
the advertisers
not,
care if I watch it at 4 or at 8? I'm watching their commercials.
Friend, that's not why they don't have the technology.
How
to
much
do this.
They pay next year for the World Series depends on
How many people see their commercial.
But they don't know
whether they saw it live or 4 hours later.
But there's only one way to prove that, Andy, and that's ratings.
First of all, ratings are a flawed issue altogether.
Absolutely.
I watched it later, that shouldn't be included in the ratings.
But no, it doesn't.
It should be.
But I'm just saying how it works.
It's flawed. Not only are DVRs flawed, now we've got to the problem that ratings are all flawed.
I'm not even arguing with you about ratings. I'm arguing with you that I don't think that has one bit of an impact on whether or not you can DVR this stuff is because the networks don't want you to watch it on
DVR. No, I didn't say that. I said right now they have – I'd say in order to have that work, they'd have to send a signal to the device.
Sabathia
and then that would tell the machine to keep going because the signal hasn't come through yet. But, you know – it's not worth their money right now to do something. Anyway, Chris, go ahead.
Anyway, the question I had was about Belichick and how he talks up opponents.
Right. Like
if I didn't watch these games or see highlights of them, I would think that Buffalo really stood a strong chance this weekend.
Yes, yeah. I actually walked in today, and our webmaster said, according to Bill, the Buffalo is the hottest team in the NFL. It's amazing. And I said,
4 wins in a row.
Yeah, they're not the hottest team in the NFL.
So I'm curious, though, you know, how much of an effect does it have on the players? And do you think does he work harder to make the next opponent? Like, who is he doing that for? Because the players aren't dumb.
He's doing it for the team.
He's doing it to be consistent, to always remind his players that every game is going to be a tough game. But also, he does it just to make sure that the opposite doesn't happen, that you say something wrong.
And he also does it for the media because he knows if at 10:45 he tells the media how good Marshawn Lynch is running the ball, that media, like a horse being pulled to a water hole, is then going to go in the locker room and say, hey, Mike Vrabel, Marshawn Lynch is a pretty good running back. Talk about it.
Right.
So it just kind of gets his message out there in multiple ways.
It gives the platform for the players to now talk the way Belichick has talked in the meetings leading up to the game.
Right.
Uh-huh. Thank you for figuring that out for me.
Okay,
no problem.
Jeez, if they were all
thanks for telling me about the DVR, even though I still think it's flawed that I have to tape 7 shows to see one.
I like his setup, the Red Sox thing, the local news, the Seinfeld rerun.
PS, breaking news, by the way.
Yes.
For any Red Sox fans that may cross over, CC Sabathia won the American League Cy Young Award, not Joshua Beckett.
I'm a little bummed out by that. I don't really care that much about individual records, but just the playoffs made it so laughable.
Right.
You know.
But Playoffs don't matter.
Playoffs don't count.
Which I don't think is – that's flawed too, I think. Anyway, Jimmy writes in, or James, he's from England. Last night on Monday Night Football, I heard Bill Parcells, at least I think it was Bill, say that he thinks that the running back position is becoming a redundant position and that most teams are not that concerned about getting an Adrian Peterson type back. He specifically pointed out the Patriots enlisted our running backs and showed that we didn't need a great back to win. Just an adequate back is enough in the NFL to win these days. What do you guys think about this?
I agree.
And I think Bill Belichick agrees.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not sold on the whole, we're being in a lot of ask PFWs, McFadden. If we have a top five pick, what do you think about taking him? I don't think there's
I love McFadden.
Much of a chance.
I think he's a tremendous, tremendous player, but I don't think there's any chance that they put that kind of money
right.
into a position twice in 3 years for two guys that aren't really going to play on the field at the
right.
same time. It's one thing, and I always use the example, Ty Warren and Richard Seymour can both make a lot of money. They're on the field together. You know, you can have two or three linebackers making a lot of money. You can't have two quarterbacks. You can't have two running backs.
I also don't think Bill would look at it as that big of an upgrade at that position from Maroney to McFadden, even though there's clear, well, based on what we know right now.
There might be, but we don't know.
I also think even if McFadden came in and was rushing for $150, and I think the way he would look at it within the confines of his offense and Tom Brady and the playmakers he has, that he doesn't need that. He needs some other things, maybe more than that, youth at linebacker, guys in the secondary, other valuable positions that he could get there. So, but I think I agree with that. I think a running back, it's far more important to have a quarterback, first of all, than a running back.
Yeah, I think it's nice when, you know, like in 2004 when Dylan ran for all those yards, it made the offense a little bit different and all that. And he was very productive. But I don't think they were really that much better. They were better. I think 2004 was the best of the three Super Bowl teams, but they had a good enough offense in 2003 with Antoine Smith,
right.
who was very, very good in the down the stretch and in the playoffs. He didn't have a great regular season that year,
but
in the playoffs
point.
He ran very well.
I think Bill thinks he can find a guy to run well for him,
right.
to do what he needs to do.
Certainly
to be able
in 2001 it was all the ground.
And I think if you got him to just take linebacker, running back, wide receiver and do his little – horizontal and vertical draft board rankings.
Yeah.
I don't think running back would be at the top and near the left. I think it would be over in the middle of the pack somewhere.
Who were the guy? And I forget, but remember when he was talking at the Pro Bowl last year and he was mic'd up on the sideline and he had, I think it was Ed Reed, he brought over and he said, you give me you and McAllister and then someone rushing the passer, I think. He's like, I could have a
right.
Super Bowl defense or something like that. You just got to – and I forget the individuals. I bet you some of our listeners would remember. It was like a glimpse into his mind as to what he thought
right.
were
it's
truly
important.
The important right. positions.
Yeah. P.S., thank you, Fred, for suggesting the Sling Box. I'm in debt for hooking me up with such a great piece of equipment. Do you know what Skype is? S-K-Y-P-E.
Is that Fred's idea? The Sling Box?
My idea?
I don't think you invented the Sling Box, no.
I don't think you did either.
No, but I did suggest it.
I'm not sure you did. I'm not sure you've ever heard of it. I get a lot of ideas in my head. I get inventions crawling around up here.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is it the one to make a bit smaller head on somebody? So you should use that one.
Stewie.
Let's see. With all this downtime with the bye week, I've been watching a lot of bad games and bad teams, says Dave.
Yep.
I've been rooting for the 49ers to lose the rest of their games from here on out so we can obviously get the highest draft pick possible. The other four teams right now that are fighting for the worst record in the NFL are the hapless Dolphins, Rams, Jets, and Raiders. And then he gives us the remaining schedules for all those teams and says, do you think that there's a chance that any of these teams will end up with more wins at the end of the season, giving us an even higher pick than it sits now?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that all of those teams could have a better record than. I don't think San Francisco's going to win more than another game or two. You know, and I think all of those teams could certainly be in a position to pass them.
Are we getting
the Rams play the Niners? I know that.
Are we getting a portion of John Rook's pay for this extended broadcast?
Hey, Paul, you are now quoted on AdrianPeterson.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's run by Stripper, and I guess he said took something that you
Jesus.
Said.
Stripper's the hardest working man in the web.
And now
Chris Ferreira can't run a single website.
I hope
Stripper's is running hundreds, and most of them involving naked ladies.
Stripper's, I hope it doesn't involve anything stupid that I said about Reggie Bush earlier in the year. I've come around on that one.
Let's see. Artie from
Keene. I think the upside of Bush is phenomenal.
Artie from Keene says that the Middleborough Cobras play in the NAFL, the same as the league that I play in. It's an awesome league. You should check into it, Andy. Let me know if you need more information.
Yeah, I was talking about the Eastern Football League.
I enjoy walking.
But I wouldn't, I wouldn't play in those leagues.
Let's see.
No offense to you. I think you should enjoy it. And in other circumstances, maybe I'd consider it. But at this point in my life, not what I'm looking for.
Jack says, kill the refs at the Indy game, kill the refs at the Indy game last AFC Championship, and kill the refs at the Pats Denver game the year before. For dinner,
he'd have dinner with the refs at the Oakland game.
He'd have dinner with
the playoffs.
You can't let it go, can you? dinner with Commissioner Goodell and Tony Dungy, if they're serving crow. I like that. I would say Belichick, but you can imagine the conversation. And then, quote, I just want to say the cooks here are really good. They're a good team. They were good in all three phases, seating, food quality, and cleanup, not to mention the special teams waiters. That's what the conversation would be like with Bill.
Okay.
Matt says, it's funny you mentioning reporters screwing up injury descriptions. I'm in the medical field, and the one that drives me crazy is when reporters make it a dislocated shoulder interchangeable with a separated shoulder.
That is
two very different things.
Yeah, and it's a very common one that they mess up. Yeah. I always just go home and ask my wife.
What about
you know where we are? We're about a half a step away from fractured versus broken. Remember when we had a half-hour argument?
And I still don't know which is which, to be honest.
Matt, what's your opinion on fractured versus broken? And that may involve hairline fractures versus compound fractures as well.
Well, compound is through the skin, right?
Right.
Okay, that one I know.
And hairline's a crack.
Gary, we got to go, so what are you going to do?
We're going to hear a whole lot of commercials, Fred.
All right, well, or
is he close?
Can you replay Belichick or something?
Well, we'll come up with something.
Don't replay Bill because there's bad questions from Andy.
I'll read one final one.
Bill on Patriots Monday, I would assume, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, you could do that. I'll read one final one. This is... did you guys see Easterbrook's column this week? He states that the Patriots won't finish undefeated because the Colts lost, and therefore the best they could finish is 14-2, which would mean the Pats will suffer a letdown and won't be motivated to finish the last two. The Pats won't have a letdown in motivation against the Dolphins, Shula's insults. The only thing that which might happen would be a resting of starters against the Giants. However, I don't see any of that happening because the Pats want 19-0. This guy Easterbrook is a serious dumbass. He did have one interesting tidbit, though. Since the Dolphins were picked to go to the Super Bowl a few years ago, they are 6-20. So,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think that's an issue that last game because we talked about it earlier. They're going to have the bye, and that would be a three-week span without meaningful football. Now you add in the second-to-last game. If he sets a second half there, you're going like a month, and I think that would make Bill nervous. What was that good line I had? Rust versus rest or something?
Yeah. Rest versus rust.
That was a good line.
If they're 15-0 going into that Giants game, they're taking that game seriously.
All right, well, we're going to take tomorrow seriously because we'll be back at noon.
Why are we going to start tomorrow?
We are.
According to Matt, fractured and broken are the same.
Thanks for listening to this extended edition of PFW in Progress. And
as soon as
John Rourke gets here, we'll start the next show. Goodbye.